6 past the hour on Air America Radio, and this is Morning Sedition.
All right, here we go. Good morning. It is Monday. I am Mark Maron, and that is Mark Riley.
Good morning.
And we are here in New York City. We're bunkered in. We're at the top of the building. We're safe here, as far as I can tell. Whoa, man. Stay down. Incoming. Look out. It's pretty...
Tom Ridge?
Tom Ridge, man. You got to put it up to red, because we're in trouble here. Hey, come on, man. Oh, my God. It's not just a car bomb. They're in the studio. How you doing? Ahmed, what's going on? Hey, come on. Try to do a radio show. What the hell is this?
That's right. Andrea Pizer isn't here. She's down at the New York Post.
Andrea Pizer catch. Anyways, man, I couldn't believe that. Look, people are like, what is going on? I just woke up. Why don't they talk about the issues? We're fighting for our lives here. This isn't fun and games. So I'm on the train the day after the convention.
Mm-hmm.
I don't read the Post generally unless I drink a lot of Dunkin' Donuts coffee, and sometimes it's a byproduct of Dunkin' Donuts coffee. You need to read the Working People's newspaper.
Now, this is the New York Post, not the Washington Post.
No, of course, the New York Post, which I never read.
Right.
I never watch Fox News. I don't, you know, I pretty much, it's not so much that I have a partisan mind. It's just that I don't go to those places.
They got nothing.
But I was surprised by both things. Like, first of all, Andrea Pizer, is it Pizer?
Pizer. All 4 foot.
Punani, pie head, whatever you want to call her. I don't know what it is.
Oh, here we go. We're going to go real uphill from here.
But Mary Matlin's doing the same thing, though.
Yeah,
Here's quoting Andrea Pieface. Last night, John Kerry enjoyed his ultimate yada moment. What does that even mean, yada moment? Listen to her.
Blah, blah, blah.
Good morning, Andrea. What does yada moment mean, right? He said, absolutely zilch of substance. This is their big comeback after a beautiful Democratic National Convention. These idiots, Andrea Pizer, Mary Matlin, all these people say that it wasn't really clear. It wasn't clear that it didn't have a real message. It's like, were you watching the same speech as me?
Even the Republicans say that they aced the convention.
But
the Democrats aced the convention.
Absolutely, it's such doublespeak. They're talking about their guy. Their guy doesn't have a plan. Their guy doesn't have a record to fall back on. Their guy's got nothing. Our guy, most of our guy, there's some people like, you know, Kerry's just the same. I'm voting for Nader no matter what. But, you know, whatever. You know, you guys want to waste your vote, go ahead. Now, don't misunderstand me. As I've said before, Nader's got a lot of good things, good points. I think you're right. Corporations should all be thrown into the ocean, and we should build democracy back up from the dirt. I agree with that, but not this year. So Kerry says he's going to cut middle-class taxes. He's going to reduce the tax burden on small businesses. He's going to roll back tax cuts for the wealthiest individuals who make over $200,000 a year. He's going to keep the tax break intact for 98% of the country. And that's just 5 points, and already I know where he's talking about. I guess Andrea Pizer has got poo in her head. I don't know what her problem is. I'm just being alliterative, of course.
Her problem is she's a columnist. She can say anything she wants. All she has to do is have a casual acquaintance with the truth of a matter, and, you know, there is no downside to saying what she says. She doesn't have to back anything up with any facts. All she can say is, in my opinion, John Kerry didn't do anything.
Well, see, that's the thing. It's like, I actually read it as if it were a piece of reporting. Like, my first
reaction... It is a piece of... you got a beep over there?
Sure.
It is a piece of... Yes.
Oh, boy, we're off to a good start. Monday's for it's so funny. Our producer, John Larson, is enjoying the free time afforded to him by his civic duty of jury duty. So he's sort of like, he's all excited on Friday. Yay, I get jury duty. Right?
Lock him up.
So now that he's gone, we've got a couple of porno lesbian stars coming in an hour. And hey, bring on the short people.
Well, that's right.
It's retarded midget day here in Morning Sedition. I hope you're listening, Larson. Checking in how the show's going.
Yeah.
But
I hope you're enjoying it.
We've got dancing midgets and porn stars all day on Morning Sedition.
That's right.
I'm kidding. There's people out there going, oh, my God, he said midgets twice.
And retarded.
Said retarded twice. And that's wrong on both counts.
That's 10 demerit points for you, Mark Maron.
10 liberal demerit points for saying retarded midgets together. There's, you know what? There's a small group of retarded midgets going, oh, Dad, we're going to write them a letter.
That's right. Now, listen. I don't like to say when we're right, but we're right.
Yeah.
We said last week that the only way the Republicans could respond to the Democratic National Convention
right.
was by going negative. Now, right. I'm not even talking about this shrimp Andrea Pizer.
No, no. You know, I just brought that up because it's stuck in my craw after I read it. And also, later in the show, I'll tell you, I saw a Fox News Fox News Weekend Edition. Uh-huh. They interviewed Kerry and Edwards, and let me tell you something, man. It was a great interview. I didn't even know the guy's name, but he tried to pin him on stupid, petty stuff like Fox News does, like Republicans do, because we all know that it's amazing how quickly bullies become babies when they're cornered.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, Kerry is a new guy, Mark. He's a new guy. He's focused. He's clear. He's got answers for every question. They're tight. They're to the point. Pow!
They have obviously John Kerry and John Edwards were invigorated by the Democratic National Convention, invigorated by their moment in the sun. And really, I thought, and we talked to Jim Loftus, your friend, who we're going to talk to again today.
Yeah.
You could just feel the energy as they were kicking off from Boston on Friday. Mm-hmm. Bush, on the other hand, is not lying down. You know, usually August is a pretty quiet time in terms of political advertising. Everybody, you know, the conventional wisdom is nobody's paying attention. They won't pay attention till Labor Day. Mm-hmm. So it's time to chill. Not our president.
Right.
He has decided to focus on the negative just like we said he was going to.
So he's going to get up early to hate.
Yeah. And, you know, instead of trying to knock him on Vietnam or his war record, because obviously Bush doesn't have one, he is now going to focus on Kerry's record in the Senate. Bush was on the stump in Pittsburgh over the weekend, at which time he slammed his Democratic opponent.
During 8 years on the Senate Intelligence Committee, he voted to cut the intelligence budget. Yet he had no record of reforming America's intelligence gathering capabilities, had no significant record of reforming education or health care.
Now, what exactly was Bush's substantive record in reforming education? Was that supposed to be No Child Left Behind?
But see, I don't know.
I'm a war president.
I want to be the peace president.
He seems to have a hard time making up his mind about
I want to be the peace president.
Next.
In my state of the union,
yes.
Or I want to be the peace president.
I don't know what he's talking about. He seems to be sort of confused most of the time. Do you know what I mean?
We're a nation of law. We adhere to laws. We have laws on the books.
Next.
But the last ad Bush released that had anything positive to say about, you know, his own record came out like on June 4th, and even that ad includes shots at Kerry for being pessimistic. This guy's done nothing positive. If you go to georgebush.com, right, this is a great example of where this guy's coming from.
Yeah.
You just go to the president's website. His own website does not have a single picture of Bush on the homepage. Instead, it's like six pictures of Kerry, all with negative comments attached. They, you know, it's the... They're cornered and they got nothing. So all they can do is slander this guy, and he's got a 20-year record in Senate.
Now, if you don't believe me, go to georgewbush.com.
Unless they changed it. Pashman.
No, I understand they haven't changed it.
So Dan Pashman, son of Lewis and Linda Pashman of New Jersey, has given us verification that they have not changed the website.
Now, do we have time to go to John Kerry, or should we take a break and then go to John Kerry?
Well, let's take a break, and we'll come back and do that, and we'll do more fun stuff when we here on Air America Radio. Good morning. Oh, I'm sorry. I was blogging. Hey, check us out on morningsedition.com where you can blog, too.
You're still using Hershey syrup to make chocolate milk? Yeah, why? Syrup's great on ice cream, but when it comes to chocolate milk, we switch to rich chocolate Ovaltine. Ovaltine? With Hershey syrup, my kids only get chocolate. But with Ovaltine, they get a whole lot more. Great taste plus vitamins.
Yeah, but how does it really taste?
It's great. It's really chocolatey.
And rich chocolate Ovaltine's better for you than Hershey syrup.
Wow, now I can feel good about giving my kids chocolate milk.
More Ovaltine, please.
I was scared to death signing a lease, I'll tell you that.
Who's going to help us do this? Realtor. It's like we have to have a trained professional that's going to go out and look for exactly what we want.
Whether you pay utilities or whether you don't.
If I were looking for another property, I wouldn't do it without a commercial realtor. I don't have the expertise.
When you're ready to lease or buy a commercial property, ask your agent if they're a realtor, a member of the National Association of Realtors.
I could just turn it over to her and that it would be done and be done correctly.
A message from your local, state, and national realtor associations.
Your oldest has just turned driving age. Time to add them to your policy. So you get in your car, drive down to your insurance company. Hunt for a space, double park, get a parking ticket, get in a fight with the meter maid, get thrown in jail, meet a guy named Wally. Wait a minute. This is just a bad dream. You've got Geico. You don't have to drive anywhere. You can do all that car insurance stuff online. Oh, that was a close one.
Geico's customer satisfaction stands at 97%. How would you rate your car insurance company? Geico. Online at geico.com.
The peak of allergy season, Ragweed.
Yeah, pollen, the best time to make them suffer.
Why take an OTC allergy medicine that stops working in 6 hours? Just one dose of Once Daily Allegra with fexofenadine lasts up to 4 times longer than one dose of most OTC allergy medicines. Comparison based on label directions. See our ad in Prevention Magazine. Visit Allegra.com or call 1-800-ALLEGRA. For people 12 and over, side effects alone may include headache, cold, or backache.
Allegra takes the joy out of our allergy season.
Talk to your doctor. Today, take Once Daily long-lasting Allegra. The relief goes on.
So by now you know that XM Satellite Radio has over 120 channels of 100% commercial-free music, plus news, sports, and talk this year. But do you know about the Delphi XM Rode 2, the smallest and lightest satellite radio ever? It even has a stock ticker that you can customize with up to 20 of your favorite stocks, and a built-in wireless audio adapter so you can easily listen to it through any car or home stereo. All for less than $130. XM Satellite Radio. Required $9.99 monthly subscription and hardware sold separately. Activation fee applies.
I was cheering when Amanda took her first steps the other day, but ever since, I've been running after her in a permanently bent over position, and now my back is really hurting.
What should you take for back pain? Truth is, doctors recommend the medicine in Advil most for back pain.
Every day she's going to get a little faster, and I'll be right behind her. Amanda! Here we go again.
Talk to your doctor. For back pain relief, advance to Advil Relief.
Good morning. 17 after the hour. It's Morning Sedition with Mark Maron and Mark Riley on Monday.
It's Monday.
What is it, August 2nd?
Yep.
Oh, it's happening, man. August is happening. We're coming down. It's hot.
Yeah, feel sticky. Man, you see how sticky it was coming in this morning?
Yeah.
Not to mention the elevators that took like 10 minutes. But that's another story for another day.
It gets so humid here. It took me years. Like, I used to think, like, there's one summer where I didn't have an air conditioner or a fan.
Ooh.
Where I literally thought I had malaria. And it turned out it was just humid. I was just like rolling in sweat. I'm like, oh my God, I've got the night sweats. I must be dying. It's like, get an air conditioner. But you think that, yes. The humidity level is 107%. It's ridiculous. It's like a pressure cooker here. We could talk a little bit about my trip to L.A. when we, you know, in a little while. We're all worked up about this negative ad. Apparently, Dan Pashman, son of Lewis and Linda Pashman of New Jersey, had checked the Bush website on Friday. It had no pictures of Bush, but now apparently they threw one up there because they heard me talking about him.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say hi to Portland. I want to say hi to Miami. Because these are some new stations that are getting the full Morning Sedition effect.
San Diego, too, later on? Are they with us already?
I think we're in San Diego now.
Yes.
We're in live feed, so the people who are listening to us in San Diego either haven't slept, or they get up real early, or they have a crank problem.
Coming out of the gaslight.
Not unusual.
Coming out of the gaslight about 3, 4 o'clock in the morning.
So shout out to all the crankheads who are listening to us in San Diego. And this might just be one of a number of voices they're hearing right now, but the only one on the radio. So, oh my God, it feels like a real morning show in here today. Oh boy,
we're in trouble.
There are women across the country going, they're being awfully boy-y.
Yeah. What do they call it? Frat house humor?
I don't know if we're being fratty. We're sort of like we're the liberal equivalent of a boys' club here. You know, the thing is. I read an article recently that said that a lot of liberals, one of their big problems is that they don't have it in them to hate properly, to focus their hate properly. And I want to say to people who believe that I'm pretty capable of hate. And, you know, I'm more than willing to express it. Like the other day on Friday, remember, we were criticizing, we brought up the fact that George Bush might be on medication for depression, paranoia, and a number of other issues.
In a speculative sort of way.
Speculative, because it was Capitol Hill Blue is the name of the website. And the truth of the matter is, if he is, not unlike the vice president during the elections, the last elections, that if the health of the president or the vice president, either on a candidate level or on an active level, is in some way, you know, physically compromised, it's something that the public, the voters should know about.
They have a right to know.
Absolutely. So I was kind of mocking him around this, that, you know, of course he's in trouble, of course he's on medication, and he's probably drinking. And some woman, remember, she actually called in and said, I really think that if he's suffering from some sort of depression, you know, we should hope that he gets help and that he takes care of himself. I mean, I don't like the guy or his policies, but there's no reason to mock him for being depressed. It's like, lady, he's depressed. president, he's going to take a hit. And I say he's a crazy bastard and needs to be taken down. So that's me being negative. That's my, but I'm allowed to do that. I'm a radio show person.
Mark Maron can focus his hate so
very
directly.
Well. And in a progressive way.
That he can move objects with his hate.
Watch me move that chair with my contempt. Watch. I will raise the table with my bitterness. All right. So now I'm being negative. Now the Bushes, they're being negative.
The Bushes are going to stay negative. The RNC is going to be negative. They got nothing else but negativity. But you know what?
Negativity and fear.
John Kerry says he doesn't have to go negative.
All right.
He says he can match George W. Bush on the experience front and with that Senate record that Bush is always talking about. Let's hear from Senator Kerry.
For 20 years I've worked in the Foreign Relations Committee of the United States Senate. I have more experience in foreign affairs now than President Bush did before he came and even after 4 years. And we're going to make this country strong.
Dude, where was he there? When did that happen?
That was, I believe, in West Virginia? I think might have been in Wheeling, West Virginia.
Okay, so what was that, just over the weekend?
Yeah.
Listen to how strong his tenor is. Like, this is not the same John Kerry we saw a few months ago. He kind of kicking around, like, hey, what's going on? I'm just running for president, you know? I haven't quite made my mind up about some things yet. Now he's like, dude, I got the message. Listen up. This is not an impression I'm doing. It's an interpretation. And I'll tell you how I'm very excited about it. Very excited about how focused he is, man. When I saw him on that Fox News interview, he was like clear. He was like, what do you got? What do you got? That's nothing. What else you got? What do you got? Bam, nothing. What else you got? I'm churning right through your garbage.
Yep. Well, you know, I sometimes wonder why they even bother with some of these right-wing Fox News. Why? Why bother with people who aren't going to give you the time of day? This used to bug me about Bill Clinton, too. Bill Clinton would engage people who hated his guts, and he knew it. And, you know, for me, I'm the kind of person, look, you know, you hate my guts? Fine. I'm going to try my best to stomp your face off.
Right. Like, but the truth of the matter is, as a presidential candidate, and as a candidate who says what Kerry says, which is that, you know, he's going to unite people, he's going to bring people together, the opportunity to talk to people that are used to being, you know, completely misinformed and pandered to with hatred and narrow-minded in the way they see the world, for him to reach out and show some chutzpah, show a little, some nads, you know what I mean, some cojones, will maybe make people hate him, but it might make a few people go, you know what, this dude's the real deal. You know, he's got some real juice there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And as a president, I think you should be able to talk to everybody.
Well,
I think that's
you
what
should
Clinton
be able
did.
To talk to. I mean, that's why I'm not running for president.
But you know, our job.
We're now, Mark, over this past weekend, we have experienced something we're going to experience in the future at least three or four more times before Election Day.
Uh-huh.
And that is two different polls that come to two different results on the same subject. Over this past weekend, Newsweek released a poll that said John Kerry was up 52-44% over President Bush.
I like that
That's
poll.
A straight up.
We'll go with that one.
Yeah, you go with that
yeah,
one?
Yeah, we'll stick with those numbers.
Now, in a three-way race, that same poll has 49% Kerry, 42% Bush, 3% Nader.
See, we don't need that poll, really.
Well, I mean, that's
it's
still,
not bad.
That's still pro-Kerry.
Our guy's still winning, but not as much.
Now, the CNN USA Today Gallup poll, on the other hand, says
Gallup.
50% Bush, 46% Kerry, 2% Nader.
Yeah, but what does Gallup know? What's
I
the,
don't
what's
know.
What's the first poll? CNN, Newsweek?
First one is Newsweek.
Where's
the second
Zogby?
One is...
I want a Zogby. Do we have any Zogbys around?
No, Zogby's probably next
week. So Gallup, Zogby, Newsweek, CNN. You know what? Numbers are just numbers, dude.
And then there's New York Times, CBS News. There's all kinds of different polls.
I think the people are waking up. I think they're waking up. They're crawling out of their strange caves of apathy. And they're saying, what? There's something going on? Why don't they talk about the issues we are? Just get up and vote. And like now, look how afraid they are. Look how afraid they are, Mark. In Rio Rancho, New Mexico, my home state,
yes.
New Mexico, some Democrats went down. They're like, let's check out Dick Cheney, man. Let's see what the guy – it's our right to go see our vice president – talk crap down in Rio Rancho.
Yeah.
So let's go on down there. So they get there. They're like, hey, we're here to see the VP. And they're like, are you Bush supporters? What difference does that make? Are you Democrats? We are Democrats. Well, we need you to go through a security check and assign this. They got to sign a
loyalty oath.
A loyalty oath. What is... I can't even understand it, dude.
I can't either.
First of all, I mean, how they... I'm trying to figure it out. All right. Two men who had sought tickets reported they were required to give name, address, phone number, email address, and driver's license number. Then they were presented the pledge of endorsement when they arrived to pick up tickets on Thursday. So they have to endorse, if they're a Democrat, they have to say that they're Democrats voting for Bush in order to be let in. And then the VP's office accuses the Democrats of trying to sabotage
the event. Yeah,
with hecklers. Not with terrorism, but people are like, boo, you suck, Bush Cheney, evil, man, you guys are devils.
How do they plan on holding people to this endorsement thing? Are they going to go in the booth with them or something?
That's where Bush is putting a lot of this new money. That, you know, so he's diverting some of Homeland Security
escorts.
Yeah, in home security money into managing Democrats who promised that they would vote for him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if they showed up at a Bush Cheney speech. But what this really means is that they are petrified. They are frightened to the point where the vice president can't even fathom the idea of dealing with any resistance whatsoever in the form of a vocal resistance or maybe, you know, an offensive T-shirt. You know, this is a guy that, you know, would eat Iraqi children for breakfast if he could.
If he could.
And, you know, and now, like, they're this scared that they don't want to have any press gaffes whatsoever. This just goes into the whole climate of secrecy and protectionism that this administration has been fueled by.
Yeah.
They clearly have something to hide, and they're clearly scared as hell.
Well, you know, the other thing, when you look at some of this polling, and the polling, both polls apparently conclude that there was a minimal amount of bounce coming out of the Democratic convention, despite the fact that people felt, both Democrats and Republicans, that the convention went extremely well.
Yeah, it went great. I had a good time.
The part of the reason why there's no bounce is because apparently, according to Gallup, almost 90% of the people they surveyed have already made up their minds who they're going to vote for president, and they will not change their minds. At least that's what they're saying.
Yeah, what kind of, you know, that makes sense to me, though, that there are these people that are Bush supporters that won't change their minds because they're stubborn bastards, and he's a stubborn bastard that's got nothing. And the only thing they respect in the guy is his ability to be stubborn and single-minded in the face of complete adversity and complete, like, wrongdoing. Like, the guy refuses to apologize. He refuses to meet his own liabilities. He refuses to cop to anything. He just disperses blame. He's hyper-insulated in this administration of secrecy. And, like, it makes complete sense to me that the most stubborn people in the world would be voting for him because that's all they believe in. They think that that's righteousness.
Well, you know, they also may have fear working for them. We're going to get into that a little bit later on because there's a lot to be said
about
fear and voting and what fear causes people to do when they get inside that booth. Still to come, the presidential palm pilot, the liberal agenda, up next, Terror Watch, here on Air America Radio.
Special delivery.
Who?
Pizza man.
Hey, you're not the pizza man. You're the cable guy again.
Price patrol.
No, you're not. I can see your van. You're the cable company. I'm not going to let you raise my rates again. I'm calling American Satellite to get a DirecTV system.
Presidential candidate.
Are you going to offer me over 125 digital quality channels for as little as $39.99 a month, including my local channels?
Ice cream man.
Yeah, like that's going to work. If I call American Satellite right now, I can get a four-room DirecTV system, including professional installation free. Can you beat that?
Pizza man.
You already tried that. Well, that's it. I'm calling to get my DirecTV system.
Call American Satellite. 1-800-264-0071. That's 1-800-264-0071. Ask how you can get Total Choice Premier free for 4 months, a $360 value. 1-800-264-0071. Call now.
At $4.99 a month for a second and each additional receiver. Offer ends October 30th, 2004. New customers only. Annual programming commitment required.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. New York City and Washington, D.C. are experiencing a heightened terrorist alert following what the Intelligence Committee says was extraordinary new evidence to threats, especially at financial institutions. Among the concerns was information that security checks had been made of specific buildings indicating whether guards were armed and what kind of uniforms they wear. Former Democratic presidential candidate Howard Dean smells politics with the latest rise in the terrorist level. Dean told CNN that he's concerned every time something happens that's not good for President Bush, he plays the Trump card, which is terrorism. Democratic Connecticut Senator Joseph Lieberman countered by saying that no one in their right mind would think the president or the Homeland Secretary would raise an alert level and scare the people for political reasons. And a gruesome videotape shows the execution of a Turkish hostage in Iraq. In recent months, some 70 foreigners have been abducted. You're listening to Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman.
Hi, I'm John Commuta, creator of the Transforming Debt into Wealth program. Let me introduce you to Heidi. She's just one of over 500,000 people who have literally changed their financial life with my simple, powerful debt elimination system.
I'm a single mom. I thought every dime I had was accounted for. I did not think something like this would ever work for me.
Heidi is talking about the Transforming Debt into Wealth program.
As a single parent, I couldn't believe that I could have my 21-year mortgage paid off in 7 years. It's true. The program works because it uses a simple, decade-proven formula using the money that I already make.
Not only does Heidi continue to use the program, she's now one of our program specialists.
And if I can do it in just a short amount of time, so can anyone. John's made it as easy as possible to understand.
Call now, and I'll rush you a free tape that will show you the power of my proven debt elimination system. Call 1-800-500-6122. 1-800-500-6122. That's 1-800-500-6122.
Look, kid, are you sure you want me to tattoo Air America Radio onto your forehead?
Yes, I do. Stop! Don't let this happen to you. Now you can let people know you're an Air America listener without painfully disfiguring yourself. Log on to AirAmericaRadio.com and click on our Get the Gear banner for t-shirts, hats, boxer shorts, barbecue aprons, and more.
Ow! What's that address again?
That's AirAmericaRadio.com. Wear the air.
Air America's Majority Report. Janine Garofalo and Sam Cedar.
And the NASCAR dads are just gonna... Ooh, I'm sorry. I just... Bill Bennett just walked over your shoulder. And it was a really disturbing juxtaposition of good and evil.
That's how I felt when I saw Bill O'Reilly up front. I had the same knot in my stomach as when I did in high school. And it was the same thing, like, oh, God, there's that guy.
Sounds like a crush.
No, I don't mean that. No, I would have said, oh, there's that guy. This was, oh, God, there's that guy.
The Majority Report on Air America Radio.
Thirty-three past the hour, morning sedition. Mark Maron here with Mark Riley.
Good morning.
Man, I remember when this record came out, it was everywhere. Like, you couldn't walk down the street without this song blaring out of somebody's apartment on 8th Street. You know what
I
mean?
Yeah, but you know what?
Yeah.
Not in the ghetto. I'm only kidding.
It was white America's last response to hip-hop. There was okay. Nirvana was like, yeah! And then it just sort of disappeared. Beautiful. And everything became hip-hop.
Well, what are you going to do?
Nothing, man. It's all right.
The die was cast. Well, who was that? Aerosmith and Run DMC? That was it.
That was it?
Yeah.
That was a long time ago, too. That was a prophecy. Here's Presidential Palm Pilot brought to us from Ramon in the Oval Office, who's very proud that we say his name now. Here's President's schedule today, 8 o'clock a.m. Wake up. Stay on message. Kerry is a flip-flopper. If he's not saving his comrades in battle, he's serving his country in the Senate. Why can't this guy make up his mind? 8:30 a.m., study 9/11 commission report. Stupid commission. It's keeping me from a day of fundraising and Kerry bashing. 10:30 a.m., 10:35 a.m., meet with cabinet. Should be short meeting as they are no longer speaking to me. 12 noon. Appoint new intelligence czar. Assure American people he will not be Russian or Dick Cheney or effective. 1 p.m. Announce 20 new appointments during congressional recess so Senate can't object. Why are there so many openings? And what did Powell mean by the term fleeing like rats? At 3 p.m., appoint new chairman of the Federal Trade Commission. Make sure he knows the difference between promising lower gas prices and actually lowering gas prices. 5 p.m., check latest polls. Try to find missing numbers of mass approval. 7 p.m., call Tom Ridge. Scream at him. Why can't you leave me? Why? Wait, you can't leave me. Nobody leaves George W. Bush. Make 15 identical phone calls to various government officials. 10 p.m. bedtime. Think happy thought. I'll replace them all, and I'll get conservatives this time. Can you imagine that? Like, now, apparently, okay, we've got, it's time for...
Air Watch!
Watch.
The music that trivializes the global apocalypse.
Uh-huh.
Terror Watch. Terror Watch!
Well, the Terror Watch is home now. I mean, we had Tom Ridge. I was on my
get out. Yeah, look right. Out, they're in the studio. Oh my God, it's Al Qaeda. Hey, get off of me.
Well, our Homeland Security chief held a press conference yesterday afternoon to announce that there are a spate of new terror threats against financial institutions in New York, in D.C., and in northern New Jersey.
Apparently the chatter is a little more specific. It's not so much chatter as apparently fragments of sentences, haikus, free verse.
And they busted a guy, where was it, in Pakistan?
Pakistan, apparently he had a notebook or something
that
laid out, listen to me, look at me not taking this seriously, and I live in New York City. There are people in the middle of nowhere right now going, oh my God, they're coming! And I'm in New York saying, hey, come on, man, let's have some coffee. What's going on?
Yeah, right.
But a series of coordinated explosions, that's another story. Let's go to this one. Here we go. This is what I want. The Citigroup Center building and the New York Stock Exchange are our targets. The International Monetary Fund and the World Bank buildings in Washington are targets.
They're also, and Prudential Financial
also
in
targets
North New Jersey.
Some American anarchists.
Yes.
Prudential Financial in northern New Jersey. Yes.
Well, you know, the World Bank and IMF aren't exactly the two most popular financial institutions on the planet.
Well, my question is, it's like, these are the targets. Aren't these always the targets? And first, and secondly, the alert's always been orange. It's been orange since, like, 9/11 here.
Here, yeah. So how did they, like, up the alert? Did they have it yellow for Citigroup until now, and they raised it to orange?
Well, I think in New Jersey it was not orange.
No, in New Jersey it's still yellow.
And I'm not sure in Washington either, but we've been on orange for a while. And I think it's very suspect and interesting that, you know, the last bit of terror alerts came out right after they nominated, you know,
John Edwards, yeah.
All right, and now this spate of terrorist alerts, you know, right after the convention. And it's very interesting. The government said the new intelligence indicated the meticulous planning of Al-Qaeda. Okay, if they've got all this information, I mean, Tom Ridge almost just came out and said, yeah, it's in New York, it's going to be a car bomb, it's going to be an SUV, the license plate is XL7946,
yeah, right.
And the guy's name is Joe. You know, I mean, it's like, how specific do they get? And here's how specific. Ridge identified explosives as the likely mode of attack as opposed to chemical or biological attack or radiological dirty bombs. Isn't that coincidental that he's that specific about the type of threat? Okay, because he really couldn't say it's going to be a dirty bomb, given that the Republican National Convention is going to be here in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
It can't be that bad. So just, you know, make it bad enough to freak people out a little bit and make it seem controllable. Obviously, if it is a car bomb of some sort, you would think that they could secure those locations pretty effectively.
Well, here's the thing, Mark. Does anyone think that Al-Qaeda, if assuming they had these plans in place, and now that the government has found out about, does anybody think they're actually going to go through with any of them?
Yeah, I mean, now that's like, you know, we know
this
where you're going to hit.
This is a very efficient organization, if nothing else. And one thing that they got, that the commission, the September 11th commission, got from the sequence of events that led up to the terror attacks in 2000, was that these folks were extremely fluid. They could go to the point of driving somewhere to set off a bomb, and suddenly something happens, they don't go.
Yeah.
They go back home.
Yeah.
And they wait for another day.
Yeah.
Now, this stuff that's coming out now, all right, they know it's out.
Yeah.
They're not going to attack these places now. Now that this information is known, if there was a plot to do any of these places in, they're going to retrofit that plot. They're not stupid people.
Yeah.
They are going to find some other way
to
make an attack. And Ridge and these people, although, you know, maybe I'm reaching here, but I got to figure if he's in charge of Homeland Security, he must be smart enough to know that they're sitting there thinking right now, what are we going to do next? And the other scary thing about this is the continuing American acknowledgement, and Ridge did it yesterday, that there are Al-Qaeda cells freely roaming around this country plotting this stuff.
Yeah.
Now, maybe they can catch him in Pakistan. How come they can't catch him in Brooklyn? Or assuming that I'm not, you know, bringing anything down on, you know, one of the boroughs of the city of New York. But, you know, if these cells are in the country, what's the deal? How close are you to getting them?
Well, I think the weird thing is about this vague idea of this war is terrorists or terror or cells. I mean, who's to say that people, you know, that cells don't actually... They may activate after the fact. They don't know. I mean, there's a lot of moderate Muslim sympathy for what's going on, you know, because of Iraq. And who knows whether or not they activate, you know, yesterday. Well, you know, yes. It doesn't mean that they have to be. There's no like newsletter. You know what I mean?
Yeah, kind of newsletter.
You know, not that I know of. So I mean, who's to say that these people don't seek to be involved? You know, and there is no way to manage that. The thing I don't understand, or I do understand actually, is how they mobilize fear. Like, you know, what this chatter. You know, I understand that it's chatter and it's fairly specific, obviously, but it could be old news too. It could be that could be a smokescreen. But I do know that he is putting the message out that you have to be afraid. And there's this constant sort of, you know, base message of the Bush campaign that you have to be afraid. And we've got a study here that we'll go into a little later.
Yeah. That's scary, right? You read that?
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know what? We'll talk about it after the break. Should we go now? Let's do that because we got to do some advertising. All right? This is Air America Radio.
Bayer Advance presents today's lawn care tip. Are insects causing problems with your lawn this season? If you notice dying grass that lifts up easily, the problem may be white grubs. If you see arcs or circles of dead brown grass, you may have an infestation of armyworms. Thinning, torn up, and dried out grass could be caused by mole crickets. It's important to find the problem and treat it before it's too late. This lawn care tip was brought to you by Bayer Advance Complete Insect Killer for Soil and Turf. Bayer Advance. Better thinking, better results. For more information, visit BayerAdvance.com.
The European crane fly can devastate your lawn or be no problem at all. The choice is yours. Introducing the revolutionary Bayer Advance Complete Insect Killer for Soil and Turf. Only Complete combines the power of two unique chemistries to kill insects above and below the ground, including European crane fly larvae, for up to 3 months. Finally, one product truly does it all, and nothing works better, guaranteed. Bayer Advanced. Better thinking, better results. Available at Lowe's and other garden retailers.
Having trouble sleeping? Then listen to the experts. Over 25,000 doctors, chiropractors, and sleep clinics worldwide recommend the biggest breakthrough in better sleep, the Tempur-Pedic Swedish mattress. Call now for your free mattress sample at 1-800-611-9977. The Tempur-Pedic mattress works like no conventional mattress can. Its high-tech material contours to your body, relieving the pressure points that make you toss and turn. It erases aches and pains, even for people with back troubles. In fact, 92% of owners surveyed say their Tempur-Pedic bed is far superior to their old innerspring mattress, air or water bed. Judge for yourself. Call 1-800-611-9977 for a free sample of the Tempur-Pedic mattress material. You'll also get a free Better Sleep video and a 90-day trial offer guarantee. Want to sleep better? Listen to the experts and call Tempur-Pedic now. 1-800-611-9977. That's 1-800-611-9977.
Investors don't have to make a choice between service and low price.
Charles Schwab, founder and chairman of the Charles Schwab Corporation on low-cost investing.
It has been my pursuit since the very earliest of days to try to lower the cost of investing for every individual investor out there.
With trades as low as $9.95, Schwab's new Trades for Less has lowered the cost of online equity trades.
By driving down the cost, making it easier for people to get a variety of services that make them a better investor, that's what this company is all about.
Schwab offers online equity trades as low as $9.95, plus advice and unparalleled service. Call 1-800-7-SCHWAB or stop by your local branch today.
$9.95 rate requires enrollment in Schwab Trader CT or at least $1 million in household assets. Other trading discounts subject to eligibility requirements. Some benefits, including advice and certain equity research, available for a fee only through one or more Schwab Personal Choice or other fee-based services. New trading commissions effective 6/21/04. Charles Schwab & Co. Inc., member SIPC and NYSE.
Hey, it's Morning Sedition. I'm Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley over there.
Hey!
To my left, if you're watching through your radio.
Yes.
You're listening to Air America Radio, thank God. And I am starting to sweat because I ate like an entire pack of M&Ms. you know, when we come down here, you know, that feeling when you're a little tired and you know your body needs something, and it's probably sleep, but you know that's not going to happen, so you have to replace it with something like M&Ms.
Yeah. I do that all the time.
Yeah, it's sort of like, what do I need right now? Rest. No, M&Ms.
For me this morning, it was Twizzlers.
Yeah, I know. You gave me a Twizzler. Thanks, man.
Yeah.
It's not that, you know, I'm tired in terms of, like, you know, I'm up, it's Monday, I understand we have a week ahead of us, but I was in California hours ago.
Yes.
And then I'm back. But that's not what we're talking about. We're going to get to that at the top of the hour. My exciting, you know, 48-hour trip home to, you know, make sure my wife still remembered me to be dissed by my cats.
Oh, wow.
To see that my house has fallen prey to a horrendously aggressive colony of ants that has taken over most of the house.
Uh-oh.
And there are also moths in the flower. And then my wife gave me an hour lesson on why Metallica is so good. This is one of the great benefits of being married to a woman who's significantly younger than you. Things that you missed, you will be taught. That, you know, I know enough about Led Zeppelin, but apparently I had to be sat down while I was home and be taught the importance of Metallica. We'll go into that.
Was this like a blackboard kind of thing?
Almost. I had to deal with the history of Metallica, when they were good, what happened.
Okay.
And then to see my wife play air guitar is always a great joy. See, like, because she had some very, you know. All right. And, you know, let's talk about. Why are they talking about the issues? We don't care about his wife's. What is air guitar? When I was, like, talk about the issues. We're fighting for our lives here.
Let's talk about fear, then.
I'm scared.
Well, you know, it seems as though if this article is to be believed, that our president is tapping into human psychology when he talks about September 11th on the campaign trail.
Should we hear that Ridge thing first, or you want to do it before you said it?
We didn't do Tom Ridge yet, did we?
Let's set up fear with Tom Ridge.
Yeah, let's set up fear with Tom Ridge. Tom Ridge says that, obviously, as we mentioned in the last segment, Al-Qaeda plans possible bombings in New York and Washington and Newark, New Jersey. And Tom Ridge says the intelligence on this one is good.
This will allow us to increase protection in and around those buildings that require it, and also raise awareness for employees and residents and customers and visitors.
Be wary of the terrorist threat to swing states on only Democrats in November.
In November, right?
Be wary.
New York City, Democrat City. Washington, D.C., Democrat City. Uh-huh. Newark, New Jersey, Democrat City.
Yeah, yeah.
No Canton, Ohio's.
So
no Casper, Wyoming.
Yeah. because you got to figure it's if they do the terrorists were coming to Casper, Wyoming, the city council will be like, well, it's great just to have visitors from out of town.
Yeah, right. Welcome.
Okay.
Go get something to eat.
But no, this is all about that. You know, be afraid. Vote for Bush. The alert is orange. Vote for Bush. The truth of the matter is the effect that fear has on people was covered in what was Riley was talking about there before.
Well, you know, this is Mark. This is a really fascinating study that they did.
Mm-hmm.
They apparently decided to try and put to get people to think about death and then think about who I guess they support based on their feelings about death. And it said that when asked to think about television, 100 or so volunteers did not approve of Bush or his policy in Iraq. But when asked to think about September 11th first, and then asked about their attitudes towards Bush, a different 100 volunteers were overwhelmingly in favor of Bush.
Yeah, and this is from the Journal of Psychological Science, and it's also in the September issue of Personality and the Social Psychology Bulletin.
Mm-hmm.
And the interesting thing about this is a dynamic that occurs in abusive relationships. This is my speculation on it, is that America, in relation to the Bush administration, is not unlike a battered spouse. In terms of, like, you know, if you keep getting hit, I mean, there's a real argument to be made as to who's more terrifying, this administration terrifying us about terrorists or actual terrorism. You know, if you keep getting reinforced at the fact that, you know, something bad's going to happen, you know, you're going to die, I'm mm-hmm. telling you this, that and you're isolated to the point where the only person you can look to help you is the person who's scaring the hell out of you. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a natural response. It's a victim mode. I mean, all this sort of reinforcing fear that's nebulous and without focus and seemingly, about to happen is creating, you know, a victim mode that we are in the position of somebody who feels helpless because we don't know what to do with all this fear of our own mortality. So the guy who's giving us these directions, like, you ought to be afraid and we know where to take you.
Yeah.
That it exploits the fear that it's causing to lead people in the wrong direction.
But I don't understand something.
Yes.
We are taking this direction from a charismatic numbskull like George W. Bush.
His charisma is it really appeals to a certain type of person, as we were talking about before. Stubborn, tough love, you know, ignorant, narrow-minded haters who are frightened. They're already afraid. Most of Bush's supporters are already afraid, but they don't call it fear because they can no longer acknowledge their own fear because it's risen to anger. See, anger and blame are all resulting from fear. Fear is the core of all of it. Hate. So these people think that they're fearless, but they're really just, you know, polluted with it, and it's now come out in anger, fear, or anger, hate, and narrow-mindedness.
Now, does this mean that we can actually expect more of these kinds of terror threat imminent sorts of press conferences out of people in the administration, and that Bush will do better after each one of them? Marin, that scares the hell out of me.
I know. You know, this is the weird thing about liberals, and we got to go here in a second, is that, you know, we know that because this administration is afraid and they're trying to make other people afraid, that makes me more afraid of this administration.
Absolutely.
When they're cornered, like, who knows what the hell they'll do to maintain power. We'll be back in a second on Air America Radio.
Every day, Americans play a game. The stakes are very high.
Now stepping to the plate, the Smith family going for a home loan. The loan officer's checking their credit report. This one's going to be tough.
Wouldn't you like to know what's in your credit report before you apply for credit? Now you can. Log on to freecreditreport.com and find out how to get your credit report instantly and online for free.
It's a home run.
Log on to freecreditreport.com and win the biggest game of your life. freecreditreport.com.
I was cheering when Amanda took her first steps the other day, but ever since, I've been running after her in a permanently bent-over position, and now my back is really hurting.
What should you take for back pain? Truth is, doctors recommend the medicine in Advil most for back pain.
Every day she's going to get a little faster, and I'll be right behind her. Amanda! Here we go again.
Talk to your doctor. For back pain relief, advance to Advil Relief.
New York City in summer. You know how hot it gets. And if you have leaky, drafty windows, you know what that does to your energy bills. That's why now is a great time to replace them with custom-fit windows from Sears. Call Sears for a free in-home estimate at 1-800-448-6600. Call now and save $500 on select styles. Sears double-pane, extra-strength windows have insulated frames. This combination may help you reduce your energy costs. And Sears makes getting your new windows simple and affordable. So call 1-800-448-6600 and save $500 on select styles. Offer ends August 31st. Ask your representative for offer details and written warranty. Services and materials provided by Bill Ray, a Sears authorized contractor. License number available on request. So don't go another summer without the energy efficiency of Sears replacement windows. Call now 1-800-448-6600.
When I saw how beautiful she was, I thought, this is just icing on the cake.
He put his things down and kissed me, and he said, not only is your heart beautiful, but you're beautiful on the outside also.
She took my breath away.
Hi, this is Dr. Neil Clark Warren, founder of eHarmony.com. Sometimes a simple love story says it all.
I have found someone to love me unconditionally.
It's emotional, spiritual, and physical.
This is the best I have felt in my life.
At eHarmony, we'd sure like to help you have that feeling of being in love with your soulmate. That's why at eHarmony, we match you on the deep dimensions of compatibility that make for relationships designed to last a lifetime.
This man is everything that I have ever dreamed of.
Let eHarmony help you find the love of your life. Log on to eHarmony and take our $40 personality profile. Yours free when you log on today. A lot of happy couples out there thanks to eHarmony.com.
Good morning. It's Monday. It's 54 past the hour. This morning's edition, I'm Mark Maron. I feel fat. That's Mark Riley over there.
Present.
Is that wrong of me? I'm a man, and I say I feel fat. It's ridiculous. Hey, Riley, do I look fat in these pants?
No.
All right, thanks, buddy.
Ralph Nader.
Yeah.
Soldiering on.
I missed it. I missed him on Real Time with Bill Maher because I have to go to bed at 3 in the afternoon.
Now, I didn't know he was going to be on, but here there was quite a scene with Michael Moore, Bill Maher, Nader is on, and they tried to talk him out of running, and then they both got down on their hands, they got down on their knees and prayed, begged him to not run.
And I he said, hey, I'm running.
Yeah, I guess, and he ran right off stage. He left at his earliest convenience there, apparently. I wish I had seen it. But, you know, I read a piece in the, The Harper's.
Okay.
And he was part of a roundtable discussion. And clearly what he's talking about, these are important things about how to curtail, you know, corporate, you know, oligarchy over everything.
Yes.
And these are important things, and these are things that I would like to see done. I would like to see, you know, them, you know, they own candidates. I think his big problem with the political party system is that all these guys are whores, and they're bought out, they're owned, they're operated, they represent lobbying.
Oh, he let me tell you something, Mark. He's absolutely right about that. But the thing that he doesn't say, and he doesn't have to run for president in order to say this, but mm-hmm. the thing he doesn't say is that corporations depend for their lives on people,
right.
whether it's their stockholders
right.
or the people who buy whatever
right.
schlock it is that they sell. They depend on people. Therefore, if people, not politicians, but if people are more selective about what corporations they patronize, the corporations that try to create these oligarchies will disappear sooner or later.
You see, I'm kind of detached from it, you know, because I, in a certain sense, like, I don't eat McDonald's, I don't eat any fast food except for Dunkin' Donuts coffee. That's the only corporation I do in the fast food department. I don't buy gas because I don't have a car here.
Mm-hmm.
All right? I do public transportation all the time. I have a Sprint phone, and as you know, I also did a Sprint advertisement. Not because I love Sprint. I just happen to have a Sprint phone, and they came up to
and the residuals said, come in handy.
Yeah, they said, would you like to do an advertisement? And I'm
no,
like, I don't really do advertisements. They're like, I go, what's it for? And they go, Sprint. And I go, I got a Sprint phone. Okay, I'll do your advertisement.
Mm-hmm.
But clearly, there's some big issues, and I'm just hoping that, you know, Kerry comes down on the right side of this tort reform issue in terms of allowing people to sue corporations, to teach them a lesson that people
yeah.
when there's evidence of corporate greed or corporate polluting and corporate excess, that people will rise up against it. It is in the hands of the people. I believe that. But awareness and information is in the hands of the media, which is owned by corporations.
You're right. You're absolutely right. And that is a big part of the problem, because corporate media has no particular interest. And remember, corporate media, to a very, very large extent, is making use of airwaves that are free and belong to the public.
We'll talk to Jim Walcott about that in a couple hours at
yes.
8 o'clock, you know, tomorrow, whenever that is. A couple hours from now. There's the liberal agenda. Here are your marching orders. It's Monday. So, from the Streisand compound, one, eliminate the letter W. Replace with V, as in the best thing of the White House. Two, proposed tax cut for backyard pharmaceutical companies. San Diego. Sacramento. Yeah, the farms of California. Three, change name of new intelligence czar to just an intelligence guy trying to do a job without any power trips, man. Four, throw a wild party with new drug to combat alcoholism. Five, today's phrase, let's drop it into conversation, quote, Cheney gay sex romp, but the mainstream media never says anything about that. Yes.
Yeah. Coming up in the next hour of Morning's Edition, Mark Maron's good buddy Jim Loftus, live from the Kerry campaign, Iraq, Birth of a Nation, the Monday job listing, and so much more here on Air America Radio.
Hey, how's it going?
Yeah, you. You know, I've been watching you, and it doesn't look like you're having a lot of fun behind the wheel. And being the all-new Ford Focus ST, I got the solution. Me. I want you to listen to this. Hear that? That's a new engine that makes me the most powerful Focus out there. With over 150 horses at my command, I'm the most powerful Focus available. And if you're a fan of the curves, you're going to love the way I handle.
New styling inside and out, and a confidence-inspiring performance-tuned suspension. The all-new Ford Focus ST. It begs to be driven.
The best things in life aren't always free, like free radicals that may have harmful effects on your body. That's why there's Nature's Bounty antioxidants like vitamin C and E and CoQ10 to neutralize excess free radicals and help reduce the premature aging of cells.
Now find a dollar off coupon good on any Nature's Bounty product in this Sunday's newspaper. That's a dollar off coupon in your July 25th Sunday newspaper.
The best things in life, they're from Nature's Bounty.
Nature's Bounty, a natural part of life.
You're listening to 1190 WLIV New York, the home of Air America Radio.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. Parts of New York City, the nation's capital, look like armed camps this morning as the terrorist threat level has been raised to thwart any possible acts of violence. Homeland Security Chief Tom Ridge revealed there was enough credible evidence to augment security, especially around financial institutions, yesterday. Local police in each city are engaged in specific exercises to stop any suspicious activity. Despite the latest announcement, New York City status has remained at orange since the time of the 9/11 attacks in 2001. Democratic presidential nominee John Kerry has weighed in on the proposal of a cabinet-level position on intelligence. This is recommended by the nonpartisan 9/11 Commission. Kerry told CBS Face the Nation yesterday that it would be the right thing to do.
I believe it belongs there, and I'm very comfortable with that decision. And one of the reasons you have a problem is that you haven't known what the right hand is doing versus the left hand. If you're going to really lead a war on terror, I think it's critical to have the kind of direct accountability to the president.
Democratic presidential nominee John Kerry. Meanwhile, the Republican Party has been quick to respond to criticism that the latest rise in the terrorist threat level is politically tied to the recent bounce that John Kerry has received after the Democratic Party's convention last week. Former presidential candidate and Democrat Howard Dean raised the issue in a televised interview yesterday, but the RNC says that's simply not so. Democrat Joseph Lieberman of Connecticut also felt that no one in their right mind would think the president or the Homeland Security chief would use the alert system for political gain. President Bush failed to keep his word Friday, announcing his intention to make some 20 appointments during the congressional recess. Bush just 3 months ago vowed that he would never take advantage of Congress by using his executive privileges to make appointments without their consent. Bush said Friday that he would appoint a new head of the Federal Trade Commission, a manufacturing czar, and three ambassadors. Bush said 3 months ago that he would never do that again. Out of Iraq, a gruesome videotape appears to show the murder of a Turkish hostage being held by militants in the country. Video was posted on a website used by militant groups. Tape shows a man kneeling in front of masked gunmen and stating his identity and that of his employer. One of the militants takes a pistol and shoots the hostage in the head. Man falls to the ground and is shot two more times. Two Turkish truck drivers were reported kidnapped on Saturday when they were shown on Arabic television. Turkish officials say that they can't confirm if one of the hostages was killed. In recent months, about 70 foreigners have been kidnapped in Iraq. And a militant group has delivered an ultimatum to Italy to pull its troops out of Iraq within 15 days or face a series of attacks. You're listening to Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman.
Hey, okay, keep your eyes on the road. Don't look around. Just listen. It's me, the new Ford Focus. I see what you're driving there, and I gotta tell you, you deserve better. You deserve more power. I'm talking the kind of power that throws you back in your seat. You deserve better handling, like the European-inspired suspension that sticks to the road like duct tape. That's what I'm talking about. So, how do you get everything you deserve? Drive me, the new Ford Focus.
More power, enhanced European suspension. Consumer Guide's Best Buy 4 years in a row. The new Ford Focus. It begs to be driven.
Honey, come on. Time to get up.
What?
People will be here soon.
All right. I'm going to take a shower. Who are you?
Hi. We're here for the open house. The sign says for sale by owner. That is you, right? Nice thing.
Thank you.
Not working with a Century 21 agent? Only Century 21 agents offer the Century 21 Service Pledge. Just one of the ways to help reduce the stress of selling real estate. Century21.com. Real estate for your world.
The Century 21 Pledge is offered by participating offices. Each office is independently owned and operated.
Hey, Steve?
Yeah?
I'm taking Nicorette like you said, but right now, I really need a cigarette. And according to my schedule, I'm not supposed to take another piece for 2 hours. So, what should I do? And don't tell me to tough it out, because it's not going to be pretty.
Take an extra piece?
Good idea.
When a really tough craving hits, just take an extra piece of Nicorette. As soon as you bite down, it delivers the medicine you need. Nicorette helps you quit one craving at a time. Use as directed. Follow dosing schedule. Individual results may vary. Support program can improve success rate.
Your oldest has just turned driving age. Time to add them to your policy. So you get in your car, drive down to your insurance company. Hunt for a space, double park, get a parking ticket, get in a fight with the meter maid, get thrown in jail, meet a guy named Wally. Wait a minute. This is just a bad dream. You've got GEICO. You don't have to drive anywhere. You can do all that car insurance stuff online. Oh, that was a close one.
GEICO's customer satisfaction stands at 97%. How would you rate your car insurance company? GEICO. Online at geico.com.
Ah, the peak of allergy season, Ragweed.
Yeah, pollen, the best time to make them suffer.
Why take an OTC allergy medicine that stops working in 6 hours? Just one dose of once daily Allegra with fexofenadine lasts up to 4 times longer than one dose of most OTC allergy medicines. Comparison based on label directions. See our ad in Prevention Magazine. Visit Allegra.com or call 1-800-ALLEGRA. For people 12 and over, side effects alone may include headache, cold, or backache.
Allegra takes the joy out of our allergy season.
Talk to your doctor. Today, take once daily long-lasting Allegra. The relief goes on.
Randy Rhodes.
If they ask you, John Jett, you're an artist, you rock out, you love rock and roll, how dare you say, you know, I love John Kerry, too. Just say to them, what would your show be like if you couldn't opine about politics?
It's absolutely true.
So ask Bill O'Reilly if he thinks he's more of an artiste than you. You know, because I think the answer is no. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
All of a sudden, he's a journalist, you know? That's crap.
Randy Rhodes on Air America Radio.
Mark Maron, you're listening to Air America Radio at 6 past the hour, and this is Morning Sedition.
Good morning, geniuses. It's Monday. We're doing it. We're at it. We're up and going here, and we've been going for an hour, and it's been great fun. It's nice to see you, as always, Mark Riley.
Good to see you, Mark Maron.
Oh, I miss everybody when I'm away for 10 minutes.
You know, I was on my way back in from Long Island yesterday, I was driving through a driving rainstorm. My wife says to me, I don't think Mark Maron's going to be able to get back from California. Then I turned on the all-news station, I hear about this cancellation of a whole bunch of flights all over the country. And I said, oh, God, I hope Maron's not on American Airlines or United. No, I'm sorry, U.S. Airways.
Yeah, but if you trace that thought, you know, one more step back, where I was like, God, if he doesn't show up, then I got to be in there by myself the whole time. It'd be hard being here. I always get scared that you're not going to be here one day and I'm not going to have anyone to talk to.
Well, listen,
Chris. Chris would be fine. It'd be fun just to sit here with Chris and just talk about, like, so how does that board work again?
Right.
Just push that button and what'll happen? The truth of the matter is I wasn't on American. Here's the weird thing is I was kind of relieved about that is that I screwed up my ticket. It cost me a fortune to go to L.A. just for 2 days. I had to go back because my wife had some trouble with the house. You know what I mean? Someone came in and took something. And now the place is secured. It's a fortress. We've got a great new alarm system. And we've the Moxie, the little kitten, is an attack cat. We're now training the cat to attack.
Really?
No, you can't train a kitten to attack. But so here's what happened.
You know, you might be.
I was supposed to fly back into Newark on American, right? Okay. And I checked my ticket on Thursday, and my flight is scheduled for 11 p.m. out of L.A. Whoops. I meant to do an 11 a.m. flight. So now I got to change it and get on a JetBlue flight, which is fine. Anyway, so it turns out that, I'm glad I didn't change it to American flight or switch it up because I would have been stuck over there in L.A. for hours.
Yeah, because the early flights on Sunday morning, yesterday morning, were delayed 2 hours because of, quote, a computer glitch.
I would have been freaking out, man.
Yeah.
I would have been just so stressed. I mean, because it's like, you know, you really start to cherish that fewer, 5 or 6 hours of sleep that we get a night.
Uh-huh.
And, like, the thought of being on an airplane. Let me talk about my trip. Let's see.
Yeah, please.
I get out there. She picks me up. We went to get sushi.
She picked you up at the airport, though, right?
She picked me up at the airport.
Unlike you, who don't pick her up at the airport when she comes to New York.
I don't have a car, man. It's different here. You're not going to go sit out there. All right. So we go get sushi, then I fall asleep. So there goes the first day of my vacation.
Uh-oh.
Day two, out of a 2 day vacation. I'm sorry if this isn't really exciting. I go, I look at the work they've done in my yard. We go out to lunch with my buddy Phil. We go get dim sum at this huge place, Ocean Seafood, where, you know, there's just like, it seats like hundreds of people, and you eat all sorts of strange dumplings that are dripping with grease. And you're like, what's in this? Is this pork or shrimp? What is that? Is it okay to eat this? I guess so. Let's just eat it. And then you eat way too much. Not very exciting. But again, my buddy Phil, I'm tired of this liberal disposition. We've got to get it out of our heads as progressives. progressives, as Democrats, as liberals, that we're screwed ultimately. We've got to somehow get that out of our heads. We don't have to be screwed ultimately. We've got to get rid of this disposition of sort of like, you know, well, even if Kerry is in, you know, what's he really going to do? Back up, man. Let's just get Kerry in. And then there's this other thing my buddy Phil does all the time, which is like, yeah, man, I mean, it's like, I guess it's going to be, he's going to give it a good try. Like this assumption in the back of his head that insists that there's just no getting this guy out.
You're talking about Bush. Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Of course we can get him
like
out.
Like he's inevitable, right? Well, like he's like Papa Doc Duvalier.
But this is the other side of that whole fear thing we're talking about. Those of us who are afraid but aren't willing to let him lead, we're afraid that, you know, if he starts to lose it, he's going to do something. We're not afraid of terrorists. We're afraid of our own president.
I got news for you. And I had this conversation with a couple of people on Long Island over the weekend.
Yeah.
I think this election is not going to be, and I know there are going to be people who are going to slam me for this. This election is not going to be as close as everybody thinks it is.
Well, I hope you're right. See, you're a guy that's a little wiser. You're older than me. Like, I wasn't even a political person, you know, I mean, until the end of Reagan's thing. Mm. You know, because I was, you know, when I was younger, I was more concerned with, like, you know, how does this work? When do I get to use it right?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
So,
how old do I have to be to get a room where they can be convinced that this girl I'm bringing is actually my wife?
That's okay. Yeah, well, you know, what pants to wear, what shoes to wear, you know, what yeah. haircut to wear. I wasn't that political, but a lot of people... See, I react, you know, before I got this job, I certainly wasn't as informed as I am now, and I used to just react, like, oh, my God, we're screwed. Like, right, I remember when Gingrich, you know, took over the Congress, I was like, that's it, it's over. We might as well, you know, move to another country. So that's the kind of reactionary attitude I have, but now that I'm a little more informed, it's a little lessened. But you've seen, you know, several political
elections.
I've
seen a few cycles going back to John Kennedy when I was 10, but what I've seen is... When you have a lot of interest in an election, mm-hmm. when there is a large turnout,
mm-hmm.
it bodes best for progressive candidates,
okay.
progressive, liberal, however you want to put
mm-hmm.
it.
Mm-hmm.
The level of interest in this campaign says to me that when the dust clears, George W. Bush will be left back in the dust.
Yeah.
That he will lose, and he will lose big, because not only will John Kerry's or the Democratic Party's traditional base come out,
mm-hmm.
but the undecided and the swing voters are going to come out, and I think they're going to break for Kerry. Right now, the pollsters and the pundits and the Andrea Pisers of the world think that, well, it's, you know, Bush, he's got... And the thing is, part of what makes me feel this is that this is a guy who is running on no record whatsoever. Are there five people in America who are not rich, who can say that they're better off now than they were when Bill Clinton was president? Come on.
Oh, yeah, and I asked Colin Quinn last week when I was on his show, you know, just tell me a few things. Give me a couple things that he's done. And they can't say anything. They don't have anything that isn't completely ridiculous and makes no sense. And I think a lot of people are waking up to the fact that this guy has no respect for the separation of church and state. This guy's, you know, the presidency, the Oval Office is really being managed and operated by Dick Cheney, who is like a secretive, you know, power-hungry freak who only wants to service his corporate friends. And they've, on environmental policy, on so many things, they've completely, you know, bankrupted, you know, what this country is supposed to stand for.
A loyalty oath to hear a vice president speak.
It makes perfect sense. I just read John Dean's book, which is mind-blowing. You ought to read it. Because this guy's, not only does he have an axe to grind, you know, he's got a soul to save, his own, after being involved with, you know, the Nixon administration and being candid and being, you know, that close to that type of secrecy. Mm-hmm. And he just basically out and out says that, you know, these guys have it, you know, all over Nixon. Nixon was nothing compared to these guys, because one big thing that stood out in my mind when I read it was that he said these people, Cheney, in particular, are willing to put people's life in danger to maintain secrecy and maintain power.
Yes.
Specifically talking about Joe Wilson's wife.
Yes. And see, now, there's an interesting thing as well, because there's a report in the Newsweek that says that Colin Powell, the Secretary of State, testified before that grand jury. Most people thought that grand jury was asleep for the last couple of months or so, wasn't doing much. Apparently, they've been doing a lot more and going a lot further than most people thought in the first place if they asked a sitting Secretary of State to testify before a grand jury.
Yeah, well, the thing is that in Worse Than Watergate is the name of the book that John Dean wrote, and I actually read it because someone on the blog, okay, I admit, blog bitch, I am the blog bitch, but not now, recommended a series of books, which I have all of them because through the station we've interviewed most of these people. I don't think we've had John Dean on, but I know he's been on the network, and I've started to, you know, really, I just got locked into this book, you know, like I got locked into Robert Reich's book about liberalism. And it really is compelling because he basically is attacking Cheney and the way they've institutionalized secrecy within that administration, that they will do it at the cost of everything. Cheney does not believe that Congress has a right to dictate how government behaves in the world.
Absolutely. That's why you see from something as simple as the energy panel, the panel of people that got together immediately, actually during the transition between the Clinton and Bush administration, at the behest of Dick Cheney, he's the one that put these people together, and we saw the kind of energy policy the Bush administration has pursued. But Cheney does not think that anyone has the right to know exactly how that policy was arrived at.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, and the thing is like, you know, we've talked about this stuff over and over again. We've really fleshed a lot of this stuff out over the months we've been on the air. But when you read it from, you know, certain people's points of view, somebody who's been on the inside, it's very specific and very pointed. And the facts that he draws from, he makes a really good case. And his basic premise is that nothing good comes from secrecy. And we'll be back after this on Air America Radio.
Feel like you're working yourself to death? You just might be. New research from Finland finds that work-related stress can double a person's risk of heart attack. Researchers at the University of Helsinki found that otherwise healthy workers who reported persistent stress due to heavy work demands and low job security were just as likely to fall victim to heart attacks as heavy smokers who do not exercise. That was the Wynn Dow Bob Report. I'm Sarah Turner.
The Stab Bob Report brought to you by the Communications Workers of America, the Union for the Information Age.
Stop whining. That's what head of the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, Tom Donahue, told workers who just lost their high-tech jobs to overseas outsourcing. Analysts say millions of more jobs could be lost in the next few years. That's why we, the Communications Workers of America, are doing something about it. We're fighting to end tax breaks that ship our jobs overseas. We're helping tech workers organize. Learn more at techsunite.org, because America's future is on the line. A message from the Communications Workers of America.
More and more, people who are HIV positive are controlling the virus with medications and are living well. A new research study seeks to determine if certain drugs, still experimental, will improve HIV patients' immune systems enough to allow them to stop taking medication. I'm Dr. Kendall Smith, Chief of Immunology at the New York Weill Cornell Medical Center. Our six-month research study tests low-dose daily interleukin-2 and an HIV vaccine with a treatment interruption. People who are taking HIV medications have undetectable HIV in the blood and have at least 400 T-cells are eligible to take part. If you or someone you know may be eligible, I urge you to call about enrolling in the research study. 1-800-822-2694 or log on to our website, HIVHCVtrials.net. The toll-free number is 1-800-822-2694 and the website is HIVHCVtrials.net.
The folks from off zipped me into this tent filled with 10,000 hungry mosquitoes and biting flies, but they're not biting me. That's because I've got the proven DEET protection of Off Deep Woods. Off Deep Woods is like a shield against hungry, biting mosquitoes, including those that may carry West Nile virus. For the worst bug situations, you want the best protection you can get, and you just can't beat the DEET in Off Deep Woods.
S.E. Johnson, a family company.
The ATM. Insert your card, enter your PIN number, get 420s and a handful of streptococci. Don't let germs interrupt your ATMing. Use Purell Instant Hand Sanitizer and kill 99.9% of most common germs that may make you sick. The CDC says eliminating germs on hands helps stop the spread of infection. So use the ATM, but use Purell, because you may withdraw a fistful of cold, hard E. coli. Purell, powerful protection against germs.
It's hilarious, man. It's hilarious. Our board up, Chris. It's Morning's Edition, Air America Radio. That's what you're listening to. Thank you for listening. That's Mark Riley over there.
Good morning, Mr. Marin.
Our board up, Chris, always has a million things going on. He's running the show.
Yep.
And either, you know, he's got like an IM going, he's got a little porn action going, and then also, now he's got solitaire going. I'm like, Jesus, I mean, is it, wait. My wife is addicted to solitaire. Is it that good, Chris?
It's awesome.
Oh, it's awesome, he says.
I don't know how anyone locks into it for so long.
Solitaire is awesome. The show, however.
Did I get you in trouble with Resto?
As long as the network bigwigs aren't listening, he's home free.
No one listens now, except for us and our family of fans.
Yes. Our bloggers, our emailers, people. Our seditionists.
I got this though. This was weird because I only slept for like 3 hours, but I had time to scribble out the dream diary. Here we go. I'm at a movie. Edwards and Carrie go to White Castle. John and John are roommates, and they're smoking these massive blunts and sucking down bong hits. Hold on. I get nostalgic for maybe 2 seconds, and I'm like, hey, dumbass, don't let Ashcroft catch you doing that. You'll squander your post-convention bounce. Edwards, who looks slightly Asian, says, dude, I'm really high. Let's go to White Castle. Just like millions of middle-class families who weren't born into wealth and privilege. And Kerry, who looks slightly Indian, says, I, too, hunger for change. And together, we're going to write the next great chapter of America's story. But first, we're going to stuff 30 square hamburgers into our mouth as fast as we can. So they hop in a swift boat. Max Cleveland calls shotgun. It was a rough trip. A raccoon bites Edwards in the nads. A weird hillbilly with pus-filled boils all over his head accused Carrie of being soft on terror. And then Doogie Howser steals their car and tampers with the voting machines. Then Bush finds Osama and claims victory in the war on terror. But in the end, Carrie and Edwards completely destroy Bush and Cheney in the debates and win in a landslide. Wow, when they finally get to White Castle, Kerry says, I'm John Kerry, and I'm reporting for duty, and I'm baked like a tray of mom's lasagna. The clerk, me, says, what do you have? Kerry says, this is my first pledge to you tonight. As president, I will restore trust and credibility to White Castle. I'll have a bag of sliders and 12 orange sodas, and if it's at all possible, could we watch some more cartoons? I woke up and my bed was filled with tiny grilled onions. Wow.
Told you about that landslide thing, right?
It gets weirder and weirder. A landslide sliders.
There you go.
My brain is not a healthy place. So, Howard Dean, confirming and affirming what we were saying earlier. And this was from a speech when? Over the weekend?
This was on CNN's Late Edition. He's talking now about the coincidental terror alerts and terror threats that seem to become public right around the time anything.
So they're politicizing the terror alerts to exploit the people's fear and distract them from the Democrats' message.
Let's go to that now.
I am concerned that every time something happens that's not good for President Bush, he plays this trump card, which is terrorism. His whole campaign is based on the notion that I can keep you safe, therefore, in times of difficulty for America, stick with me. And then out comes Tom Ridge. It's just impossible to know how much of this is real, and how much of this is politics, and I suspect there's some of both in it.
Mm-hmm.
How about Tom Ridge trying to keep his job?
Yeah?
It's like he's just sitting around going, God, I'm not doing nothing. They're going to bring in this czar. There's going to be an intelligence czar. I thought I was supposed to be the guy barely making enough money to put my kids through. Hey, chatter. I hear chatter.
I hear chatter.
And the chatter's making some sense.
Wait a minute. There's a phone call from Pakistan coming through.
There is?
Wait a minute. Hold it.
Hold on.
He said what?
Oh, okay. Well, I'll tell him right now.
I'll tell him right now.
No, I think that he's right. I think that Howard Dean is right. I think that the way they use fear, and it's so designed for that, because the idea of a war on terror, first of all, is vague, obviously.
Yes.
And now the terrorists, though, actually have a way of operating. They have a country to operate out of, Iraq, thanks to George Bush's unilateral attack on the country. He's now made a sort of like a congregation grounds for terrorists from around the world, to the point where, you know, the terrorists are actually, you know, supporting Bush. There is there are two letters from the terrorist group Abu Hafs al-Masri Brigade, which is linked to al-Qaeda, and claim responsibility for the Madrid bombings. These are letters that were posted on an Islamic website. A word for the foolish Bush. We know that you live in the worst days of your life in fear of death squads, which spoiled your world, and we are very keen that you do not lose in the forthcoming elections, as we know very well that any big attack can bring down your government, and this is what we do not want. We cannot get anyone who is more foolish than you, who uses force instead of wisdom and diplomacy. Your stupidity and religious extremisms is what we want, as our people will not awaken from their deep sleep except when there is an enemy.
I'm George W. Bush, and I approve this message.
Thank you, Mr. President.
See, the truth of the matter is that's why these terrorist threats become suspect, because, you know, we know on some level that he's done nothing but great things for terrorists. And any accusation that Kerry, if you vote for Kerry, you're aligning yourself with something unpatriotic, is crazy. Or you're aligning yourself with something, you know, that the terrorists want. Terrorists love George Bush, because he is making this a holy war beyond anything they ever thought possible. First of all, he is a fanatical Christian that panders to a fanatic Christian base who want a theocracy. Okay. Second of all, he has done something Osama bin Laden has not been able to do for 15 years, which is unify the terrorist insurgency in many different fronts. Third of all, by destabilizing Iraq, he's created sort of a strange kind of, you know, petri dish of all different types of terrorist groups that are learning how to work together, which is exactly what the terrorists want.
But what is Bush doing? Bush is pulling away from criticizing Kerry strictly on the terror front and moving more. See, when Kerry extols his war record, the American people say, well, you know, this is a guy who probably can handle, because he's a former soldier, he's a war hero, he's a guy who can handle this situation.
Right.
So now what Bush is doing, instead of trying to attack him frontally on the issue of terror and national security, which Bush always thought he'd have the edge in doing,
right,
instead they shift to his record in the Senate.
Right.
Instead they say, well, he's done nothing of substance. And it was interesting. At first, in the soundbite that we played a little bit earlier, last hour, Bush said he had done nothing on a couple of things, on intelligence, I think. And then he said nothing of substance or nothing significant on health care and education and the rest of that. It's a very, very important distinction that Bush himself was making. The fact is he was acknowledging Kerry did do some things on education while in the Senate, did do some things on health care while in the Senate. But the
58 bills and resolutions that John Kerry had sponsored over the years of passing the U.S. Senate. What he's trying to do, I think, Mark, I'm interrupting, is exploit people's ignorance. Is that a lot of people in this country, you know, myself used to be included in this group, really doesn't understand, you know, completely the nuances of how, you know, government works, how democracy works, how the evolving of legislation works. That, you know, when you're actually doing the job of someone in government as a senator, you know, there's a lot of bills that evolve over time, and they add things on, they take things out, you vote for them in different processes at different points in their evolution as a bill or as a law, and all this other stuff that, you know, somebody who is actually engaged in the political process does. I mean, Bush was a governor of a state that had a temporary legislature. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And, you know, basically he was just a self-serving, you know, political animal, whereas Kerry has actually been fighting for things throughout his political career, and now Bush is going to say, that's flip-flopping. No, it's not. It's debate. It's engaging in the political process. It's being a legislator. And that is something he has no idea about, and a lot of people in this country will not do the research to understand that Kerry fights for people.
Of course he fights for people, and Mark, what a lot of folks don't realize about the legislative process is that you can stick almost any kind of legislation or initiative in, for example, an omnibus spending bill or an appropriations bill or any other of these high-sounding names, so that in many instances people will seem to be voting against the interests of their constituents when, in fact, not to do so would have damaged their constituents more. They do this all the time, particularly in the Senate, when they have House-Senate conference committees. No one gets everything that they want. No one gets everything that they're, you know, that they set out to get. So the idea that this is something that John Kerry is flip-flopping on is something born, as you very correctly point out of ignorance and certainly out of political ambition on Bush's part as well.
Yeah, these people are proud to be ignorant. That's what they think strength is, by not letting new ideas in, by not, you know, seeing the truth in terms of, you know, in light of their own stubbornness. Their fear of change is baffling, especially when they have a president that's been as ineffectual as this one.
Well, let's talk a little bit about fear, and let's talk about fear with our audience when we come back. Our number is 866-303-2270. 866-303-2270. Are you scared? Coming up as well, Jim Loftus live from the Kerry campaign trail at Iraq, Birth of a Nation, here on Air America Radio. Give us a call at 866-303-2270, or you can check us out at morningsedition.com.
New York City, September 4th at Town Hall. Mother Jones Magazine presents The State of the Union, an evening of uncensored political comedy to benefit uncensored, uncompromising independent media. Starring Air America host Janine Garofalo and Liz Winstead. Bipartisan smartass Will Durst. Comic artist Ward Sutton, Eugene Merman, and friends. Tickets through Ticketmaster. More information at MotherJones.com.
Charts and graphs, charts and graphs. Love making charts and graphs.
No afternoon slump here.
Pie charts, flow charts, bar graphs too. Hey, it's only 5 after 2.
Huh, that rhymes. Thanks to the doldrum-fighting Harvest Bar. Real fruit and healthy energy from whole grains, fiber, protein, and vitamins. In 10 tempting flavors like rich toffee chocolate chip and pleasing strawberry.
Cover sheet. Turn it upside down. Dial the number. Press send. Facts, facts.
Harvest Bar from Power Bar. Skip the slump. Be great.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. The Turkish news agency reports the nation's truckers will stop making deliveries to U.S. forces in Iraq. The decision follows the videotape execution of a Turkish national who was kidnapped by Iraqi militants. Two Turkish truck drivers were kidnapped over the weekend. Bush administration declared yesterday that financial institutions in New York City and Washington, D.C. were deemed high risk for possible terrorist attacks based on information recently received. Authorities in both cities are engaged in specific activities to thwart possible attacks. Published report says the unannounced capture of a figure from Al-Qaeda in Pakistan several weeks ago led to the Central Intelligence Agency to load of information that prompted the terror alert yesterday. And there's a report this morning that violence and mayhem still rule the streets of Haiti despite the forced departure of Haitian President Jean-Bertrand Aristide. You're listening to Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman.
When I saw how beautiful she was, I thought, this is just icing on the cake.
He put his things down and kissed me, and he said, not only is your heart beautiful, but you're beautiful on the outside also.
She took my breath away.
Hi, this is Dr. Neil Clark Warren, founder of eHarmony.com. Sometimes a simple love story says it all.
I have found someone to love me unconditionally.
It's emotional, spiritual, and physical.
This is the best I have felt in my life.
At eHarmony, we'd sure like to help you have that feeling of being in love with your soulmate. That's why at eHarmony, we match you on the deep dimensions of compatibility that make for relationships designed to last a lifetime.
This man is everything that I have ever dreamed of.
Let eHarmony help you find the love of your life. Log on to eHarmony and take our $40 personality profile. Yours free when you log on today. Lot of happy couples out there thanks to eHarmony.com.
You're still using Hershey syrup to make chocolate milk?
Yeah, why?
Syrup's great on ice cream.
But when it comes to chocolate milk, we switched to rich chocolate Ovaltine.
Ovaltine?
With Hershey syrup, my kids only get chocolate. But with Ovaltine, they get a whole lot more. Great taste plus vitamins.
Yeah, but how does it really taste?
It's great. It's really chocolatey.
And rich chocolate Ovaltine's better for you than Hershey syrup. Wow, now I can feel good about giving my kids chocolate milk.
More Ovaltine, please.
The Al Franken Show.
And by the way, you're drawing a big crowd here.
Yeah, well,
you're
I think
star.
It's you. It's you.
You're,
because
it's you.
You were just named the sexiest newsman.
Well, I knew I was in the running and I was
in
leading.
The running. In Playgirl, all the readers are gay guys.
You know that for sure?
Pretty much, and I don't get it myself. I'm not saying I get it. So you have been chosen by gay guys as the sexiest man.
How shall I interpret that?
Do not commit a crime.
The Al Franken Show on Air America Radio.
Yes, Monday morning, and We just, Dan Pashman, son of Lewis and Linda Pashman of New Jersey, is helping us out here. He's going to go get us some coffee. And
we're going to have to take 15 minutes out of the show, folks. We won't be doing, we'll be playing some film music.
But that's not what he does. Dan is, you know, does the big work. Brendan McDonald, of course, doing the big work while John Larson's probably still sleeping.
Laying down the law.
Maybe he just set his alarm. Larson. Larson, we're in trouble. Dude, there's nobody here. Me and Riley don't. Oh my God. Me and Riley don't have. We don't even have our breakdowns. We don't know anything. And there's like there's people. You don't even know what's going on since this terror alert. Oh my God.
Oh my God.
I don't even know who that was. But now, like, we have an open air studio. It's very nice here now.
And by the way, what would you do if you were a criminal defendant and saw Jonathan Larson as the foreman of your jury?
I'd be scared because Larson's going to, he's going to make sure he knows all the nuances and details of everything. John Larson, our producer, is going to hold up that jury. Wait, you guys. I'm enjoying my sleep.
Can we get one more readback, please?
There's no reason to rush into this. We're taking your calls, 866-303-2270. We're talking with Carlos from Brooklyn. What's up, man?
Hey, Carlos.
Hey, Mark and Mark.
Hey.
Wanted to make 2 points if I could.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime Bush wants to compare records, like in the 80s when he was a stumble bum, falling down drunk, failed businessman, and
absolutely.
John Kerry was writing legislation, a district attorney in Massachusetts and working on narco-terrorism. And,
yes.
You know, so many things in the Senate. He's got nothing to speak about.
Yeah, absolutely right.
The second thing that really gets me, and you got to give Howard Dean big ups for this.
Okay.
Every time something goes wrong for them or something goes good for the Democrats, these little jack-in-the-boxes pop up. Ashcroft, Mueller, Ridge. Rove said it, I think, about a year ago with the war in Iraq. You got to wait for the right time to roll it out on the public.
Mm-hmm.
These things that they're using it for political purposes, who knows how long they've been sitting on this information, and they decide now is a good time to use it.
Carlos, you think most people are buying it?
I think people are buying into it because they're scared not to. But once they see again that it's like the duct tape and these phony color charts,
mm-hmm.
it's going to fall by the wayside.
Yeah, but Carlos, man, suppose you were on the train right now on your way to the Citigroup Center. Would you feel the same way then?
I think people feel this way all the time anyway now.
I think that's, he's right, because I'm like that too. Is that like, it's weird. Thanks, Carlos, for your call.
Yeah, appreciate
it. It's weird
that,
like, people in the Midwest, here we are in New York, and we deal with it. You know what I mean? We deal with it because we have no choice. I think that in New York City, because of the intensity and the proximity that we have to everyone else, we're the most social animals in this country.
We have to be.
Yeah, because, you know, we're on the public transportation. We're around hundreds of people every day. We deal with with everybody on a very one-to-one basis. Like, I had a guy in here from the South last week who was a comic who I met, and he's like, isn't everyone in New York angry? I'm like, no, we're not angry. How can we be angry? Look, we're on top of each other all the time. There's people all over the place. You can't run around being angry. We're just very present. We know how to deal with each other. We're polite. We take care of each other, and we're very socialized animals. There's not much distance between me and whoever's sitting next to me on the train, and because of that, we live in a reality that people in the Midwest don't understand, that they don't know about. We live in a reality where their fear is almost metaphorical. What they're experiencing in terms of a terror threat is something vague to them, you know, because they're not in it. Even and because we're in it, you know, and now we know that there's a threat downtown, it's still not going to stop us. What are we supposed to do?
No, you're right.
I'm on the train, I'm afraid. I'm on the airplane, I'm afraid. Like yesterday, I'm on the airplane, I'm thinking, like, what if they do have one rock surface to air missile thing? You know, what if there's just a lunatic shell, you know, down there in Flushing, who knows where, and they're like, I'm going to take a plane out. That's the last thing I want to do, is that we got this, like, rocket launch thing. I think about that when I'm up there, but we know what you can do when you think about it?
Nothing.
You can really do is go, man, I hope this ain't the day. You know, and you move on.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. I mean, it's just that when they get, and this was something that was different about this particular alert and the news conference Ridge had. They don't name buildings normally. They don't say the IMF or the World Bank or Citigroup or Prudential. Usually it's a very nebulous kind of thing. And
well, I'm assuming that they've got to be the safest buildings lower Manhattan right now.
Oh, well, right about now. They've probably got dogs and
I'm thinking,
people,
you know,
in uniform.
This morning there are SWAT teams on top of Citigroup Center there.
Yeah, and I think that Al-Qaeda, if they had planned on hitting these places, they're probably going on to Plan B by now.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Oh, man. That makes me kind of scared, too. But, you know, I'm not scared enough to change my vote. I mean, you deal with the fear, and you hope that, you know, we as a people can, you know, transcend this, and you hope that our politicians will address it in a different way than this president has. Certainly John Kerry will. And the other thing I wanted to say about the Midwest is that I'm not trying to alienate you. I just think it's interesting that, you know, that the wave of this campaign for George Bush is that he's going to be the tough on terror. He's the war president. But, you know, in the world, you know, where, like in New York City, which is a Democratic city and Democratic state, you know, where the threat has been its highest, you know, we have to deal with it. And we have to deal with it in a way that other people don't have to deal with it. We have to take trains every day. We have to go under the water on the train. We have to be around all different types of people all the time. And we tolerate that because we understand what it's like to be a social animal and to be in a city that operates like this.
That's right. And people who are angry are generally told, keep it to yourself.
Well, you just move to the next car if there's an angry
Yeah, exactly.
So are we going to take more calls or we have Jim coming back? Jim? Yeah.
Jim?
All right. We got my friend Jim Loftus after the break. He's on the Kerry bus, and we'll take your calls later in the hour. So don't hang on. We'll be back in a minute on Air America Radio.
Looking for something to do in the city that never sleeps? Well, look no further than Time Out New York. Each week, our team of tireless editors scour the city from top to bottom, borough to borough, to bring you the best in New York arts and entertainment offerings. Whether you're into blockbuster movies or avant-garde performance art, live jazz or dead poets, Time Out New York has you covered. With over 2,000 listings each week, you'll have no excuse for hanging out at home on a Wednesday night, unless you're into that sort of thing. This week, a look in New Jersey, featuring Natalie Portman of the upcoming film Garden State. And 5-day trips celebrating our western neighbor. Yeah, that's right. We're giving props to Jersey. You got a problem with that? And as always, you'll find the most comprehensive New York arts and entertainment listings right inside Time Out New York. On sale at newsstands everywhere. Time Out New York, the obsessive guide to impulsive entertainment. We do all the work so you can have all the fun.
Investors don't have to make a choice between service and low price.
Charles Schwab, founder and chairman of the Charles Schwab Corporation on low-cost investing.
It has been my pursuit since the very earliest of days to try to lower the cost of investing for every individual investor out there.
With trades as low as $9.95, Schwab's new Trades for Less has lowered the cost of online equity trades.
By driving down the cost, making it easier for people to get a variety of services, but make them a better investor, that's what this company is all about.
Schwab offers online equity trades as low as $9.95, plus advice and unparalleled service. Call 1-800-7-SCHWAB or stop by your local branch today.
$9.95 per eight requires enrollment in Schwab Trader CT or at least $1 million in household assets. Other trading discounts subject to eligibility requirements. Some benefits, including advice and certain equity research, available for a fee only through one or more Schwab Personal Choice or other fee-based services. New trading commissions effective 6/21/04. Charles Schwab & Co., Inc., member SIPC and NYSE.
Every day, Americans play a game. The stakes are very high.
Now step into the plate. The Smith family going for a home loan. The loan officer's checking their credit report. This one's going to be close.
Wouldn't you like to know what's in your credit report before you apply for credit? Now you can. Log on to freecreditreport.com and find out how to get your credit report instantly and online for free.
It's a home run.
Log on to freecreditreport.com and win the biggest game of your life. Freecreditreport.com.
I was cheering when Amanda took her first steps the other day, but ever since, I've been running after her in a permanently bent-over position, and now my back is really hurting.
What should you take for back pain? Truth is, doctors recommend the medicine in Advil most for back pain.
Every day she's going to get a little faster, and I'll be right behind her. Amanda! Here we go again.
Talk to your doctor. For back pain relief, advance to Advil Relief.
How you doing? It's morning's edition on Air America Radio. I'm Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley.
Yo!
And since the handover of power, we're exploring various issues and opportunities the Iraqis and Americans will face. This is Iraq, Birth of a Nation, Day 35. Leaders of Iraq. Yes, good morning. It's nice to see you, too. All right, okay, don't get excited. I know it's been a long weekend. You've been blowing up Christian churches. Stop it. Don't expect praise for this. I'm pretty pissed off at you guys. I'm serious. Fine. All right, whatever. I don't care. But you're going to listen to this, all right? Blowing up churches doesn't work. Here in the States, the Ku Klux Klan, yeah, you've heard of them, all right. Well, back in the 60s, they decided to burn and blow up as many black churches in the South as they could. And you know what happened? The Christians rebuilt them, bigger and better, with air conditioning, conference halls, wired for the web. Forget about it. You guys should know better than anyone that you can't get rid of religion. It's like bombing a Starbucks. Not that I'm suggesting that, all right? You bomb it today, somebody will rebuild three just like it tomorrow. It's like cutting a worm in half. Do you understand? No, I'm not that I'm suggesting that, and you don't have better things to do with your time. All right. Look, we're working on getting you cable, okay? Premium cable, premium, okay? Until then, good luck and God bless. This is day 35 of Iraq, birth of a nation. Live free or die. On the phone, one of my oldest friends, who is on the campaign bus with John Kerry. He's in the press division of the campaign bus. Jim Loftus is with us. Hi, Jim.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Hey, Jim.
I'm okay, man. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. We're on our seventh state, 4 days into cross-country tour, and I'm starting to lose my voice.
Uh-oh. Okay. Are you getting any rest?
Yeah, a little bit.
Okay. I'll tell you something.
Right.
I'll tell you, Jim. I saw him do the Fox News yesterday, and he's like a different guy, man. He's focused. He's on point. He's got, like, his tenor has changed. How's he being received out there?
It's just been unbelievable. We talked about this when we were starting, that we're hoping to catch this energy, enthusiasm. We've just been rolling into these event sites, and they're just overrun with people.
How many people, like?
Well, I mean, literally, we've seen crowds of, you know, over 20,000.
Oh, my God.
We pulled into Grand Rapids the other night at about 11 o'clock. I'm sorry, we're in Grand Rapids right now.
Yeah.
In Harrisburg.
Harrisburg, PA?
Yeah, we were in Harrisburg 2 days ago, and I think we got in there about 11 o'clock at night, and we were just inundated with people. The state capitol, I think we were anticipating a couple of few thousand, and we got about 25,000.
Oh, man, and did he kick it? Did he do good?
Yeah, he was fantastic. It really, these guys are really being lifted by this stuff, and they can feel it. Edwards broke off yesterday.
Uh-huh.
Last night, he's down in Florida.
Uh-huh.
He's heading to Florida and then to Louisiana.
Yeah.
On our seventh stage here in Michigan, we got into Grand Rapids last night at about 2:30 in the morning.
Uh-huh.
And we're pressing on, heading for Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Jim Loftus, the senator received, I guess, a briefing yesterday on the substance of Homeland Security Director Ridge's press conference about the heightened terror alert in New York, Washington, over in Newark, New Jersey. How did that sequence take place? How did the senator find out about the briefing, and what was his reaction to it?
Well, we were contacted that it would take place. We were just finishing an event, actually, at a softball game at the end of the day yesterday, and
mm-hmm.
we had to hold and bring a hardline telephone into the bus so that he could receive that briefing.
A hardline telephone? And
yeah,
in other
so
words,
we actually had to wait, and we just sort of stayed in place there, and it added a little bit. Right, so he did the briefing, which lasted for about 40 minutes, and then we headed on to Grand Rapids.
So, Jimmy, this is my buddy Jim Loftus I'm talking to. He's losing his voice. He's on the campaign trail with John Kerry running around on the bus. So now it seems that news reports have come out that the Bush campaign is going to hit him with an onslaught of just slander and negative BS. How's he going to handle this? Just stay on message and not even lower himself to that?
Yeah, I think that's right. Look, you know, They're back to it. This is that gap that we talked about earlier in the campaign. The 5 weeks where the Bush campaign has all the money in the world to spend, and we have to be very, very cautious and watch.
Because of the limitations are on you guys. Explain that to our listeners just a little bit. That they now have to watch their money because he's now the official nominee.
Right. Federal Election Commission rules dictate that once you become the nominee, you get a certain set amount. And this year it happens to be $75 million.
And the Bush still has it.
We received our nomination 5 weeks earlier than the president will be renominated. they can still continue to spend money that they raised during the primaries, while we're forced to just spend from that pool of money that's available to us until the general election.
So now, you did this with a couple other candidates in your life. So you were on campaigns before. How does this compare to Clinton or Dukakis or any of those other ones?
I think it really does feel to me like 92. The difference is that we were so far behind going into the convention in 92.
Yeah.
So Clinton was in third place that the bounce was possible.
Mm-hmm.
Plus here now we went into our convention well over 45% in national polls, which is just an unheard of thing. I don't think it's ever happened.
Yeah.
The challenge was going that low. So to feel this sort of rush of enthusiasm around this ticket and the physical evidence of momentum, which is thousands and thousands of people continuing to turn out is great.
Mm-hmm. Jim Loftus, we see the Bush campaign looking to focus rather than on Senator Kerry's record in the service and on national security issues that he spoke to very forcefully during the convention. Now they seem to be focusing on his Senate record. What implications does that have for Senator Kerry?
Well, I think a couple of things. I mean, in political terms, I think it encourages people to focus on the records of these two individuals that we're running against.
Yeah.
Before they became president, vice president. I mean, if you look at Dick Cheney's legislative record, it is
horrifying.
It's hilarious. I mean, I think he may have had a couple of pieces of legislation when he was in the House of Representatives for nearly a decade pass and become law. But he sponsored, 10 a year and never got one through for the first 4 or 5 years while he was in Congress. I mean, this is, to me, it's bizarre. We talked about this earlier. These guys are going all over the place. You know, one of the criticisms that they leveled against Kerry during the primaries was that he was speaking in Senateese too much. You know,
not anymore.
Language of
Butler.
Now to start hitting him on this, it's starting. I just think that they continue to hunt for a negative line that they think will take on against us. Meanwhile, we're getting around them and over them and speaking directly to people, and they're starting to connect with us.
That's great, Jim. Thanks so much for joining us, Jimmy. I guess we'll check back in with you later in the week, maybe next week.
Okay, guys.
All right, Jim, take care. Jim Loftus, my old buddy on the campaign bus with Kerry. Sounded like he was just starting to, his brain was just starting to crank a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Like Jimmy's usually like, bow, 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 but more coffee. All right, we'll be back here on Air America Radio in just a second.
You work hard, and you put in extra hours at the office, but you're not getting ahead in your career. Well, here's an idea. Maybe the best place to put in extra hours isn't at work. Instead, try earning your college degree via the Internet at University of Phoenix Online. A college degree continues to provide greater opportunity, responsibility, and reward. And by working just 15 to 20 hours a week at University of Phoenix Online, you can earn your degree in just 2 to 3 years. At University of Phoenix Online, we offer bachelor's and master's degree programs in business, management, accounting, marketing, IT, healthcare, criminal justice, education, nursing, and more. The fact is, it's better to spend a few years working on your college degree than to spend a lifetime working without it. Before you know it, you'll have the expertise and credentials you need to excel in your field. Call University of Phoenix Online today at 1-800-624-1890. That's 1-800-624-1890.
If you could cut your mortgage payment by 45%, would that make a difference to you? If you're like most people, it can make a difference of hundreds of dollars a month and thousands of dollars a year. That's why the home loan experts at Quicken Loans created the revolutionary new Smart Choice interest-only loan. It's the flexible mortgage that can lower your payment up to 45%. Homeowners are calling Quicken Loans at 800-655-3911 to discover the difference for themselves. If you have a mortgage, you can't afford not to call. You could see a dramatic drop in your payment, even if you've recently refinanced. Call 1-800-655-3911 to see how Quicken Loans can lower your house payment up to 45%. Quicken Loans is an equal housing lender, licensed mortgage banker, New York State Banking Department. In today's economy, you can't afford to wait. See the difference Quicken Loans can make for you. Call Quicken Loans, America's home loan experts, 800-655-3911. That's 800-655-3911.
LendingTree.com presents How to Get Out from Under Debt. First, take an average guy.
Hello.
Then add some credit card debt, a car payment, and a student loan.
How?
To get out from under all this debt, get a debt consolidation loan from LendingTree.com, where banks compete and you choose the loan that's right for you. Call 1-800-555-TREE. That's 1-800-555-TREE. When banks compete, you win at LendingTree.com.
Equal housing opportunity. Some restrictions may apply. See website for details.
Welcome to What's on My Mind. First question. 1 in 3 chance you'll need it on vacation.
Duct tape? Saddle shoes? D-batteries?
Actually, Imodium.
Oh, I knew that. There's a 1 in 3 chance you'll get diarrhea on foreign vacations. Imodium works often in one dose.
If you know all about Imodium, why didn't you say it?
TV jitters?
This is radio.
Oh.
Until next time.
Pack Imodium AV. Pack wisely. Use only as directed. About 1 in 3 travelers to developing countries get diarrhea.
Here we go. Mark Maron here with Mark Riley on Morning's Edition.
Hi.
Air America Radio. We're bageling it.
Yeah.
Right now, we know things are tough in the job market, so we've decided to help out. We scanned through the Sunday Help Wanted listings and found this for the Morning's Edition Monday job listing. Commission report tutor needed. Work at the White House. Our chief executive must become familiar with the contents of a 516-page report as soon as possible. To facilitate this, we seek a tutor to read and explain the report to him. The document in question is titled the 9/11 Commission Report. You will be expected to make complex geopolitical information understandable to someone with an eighth-grade comprehension level. You should be adept at dealing with an unmotivated, fidgety, and occasionally smug pupil. In the past, he has shown extreme reticence to tackle subjects of this nature. Patience is a must. Ideally, you should be able to impart bad news in a way that makes it seem like good news. If selected, you will be joining a team of experts in a wide variety of policy fields who are dedicated to cramming things into this guy's skull. This is a temporary position and is expected to end, you know, let's face it, on January 20th, 2005. There you go. So we're talking about fear. We've got a couple of callers. At the top of the hour, I'll try to flesh out that the battered spouse, you know, America analogy that I was making in terms of how you create an environment of fear. You grow to learn to love your oppressor because fear feels like love. It's a bad trip, but it's a game he's playing with the American population. Why don't we go to Larry in Manhattan? Larry?
What's up, Larry?
Good morning, guys.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you? Look, the whole idea of fear is immaterial as far as I'm concerned. When our time is up, our time is up. Political leaders since, you know, the Romans with the Huns at the gate have used fear to consolidate their power and to keep an ignorant populace under tow.
Right.
I mean, this is nothing new.
Right.
To me, what I think we need to really start doing is we need to start exposing Bush's connection. I'd like to hear the monetary details, his connection to all the corporate elite who have supported him and the legislation that he has pushed through in his 4 years in power, and show conclusively, like, for example, which we know Halliburton getting a non-contract bid. I mean, that's just the in Iraq. That's the tip of the iceberg. I want to see more. This is Bush's Achilles
heel. Do you ever go to the Center of American Progress?
No.
You should check that website out, Center for American AmericanProgress.org, and today there's an entire list of just how the oil companies, because of his refusal to bring the oil prices down and put a cap on them, how they've made off because of his policy. It's a great website for anybody who wants to learn about that stuff. But we'll try to address some more of that, Larry. Thanks for your call.
Yeah.
That's a good call.
You know what's funny? I mean, they were making out like bandits, these oil companies, during this run-up of gas prices. Not only that. Yeah, squeeze one more.
One more call. Here we go. Alice in Arkansas. How are you?
Hi, Alice.
Hey, I'm great, although it's an hour earlier here. I have to get up earlier to catch you guys.
Okay, what's on your mind? We've got a minute, about 30 seconds.
What's on my mind is that I am more terrified about what this country will look like with 4 more years of George Bush and his cabal.
No kidding.
Any terrorist threat.
Yeah, isn't that interesting? Yeah, thank you for your call, and I think a lot of people share your sentiments. I mean, a lot of people, it's amazing to me, you know, not even liberals, are more afraid of this president than they are of terrorism. They're like, look, America's dealt with, you know, bad things before. We can deal with this as a people. If this guy would stop trying to put wedges in between us and stop trying to, divide and conquer his own people, we could all come together, maybe, you know, believe in ourselves again if he would just get out of the way and stop lying and exploiting our fear and exploiting the planet for his friends' benefits.
Wedge issue. That's the only thing they've got left. Newt Gingrich as much as admitted it last week. He advised the Republicans as you go into the convention, get yourself some wedge issues, some issues that will, by the way, take the American people's minds off several other things that they ought to be focusing on. Coming up in the next hour of Morning Sedition, Modern Day Crusades, the Presidential Daily Briefing, James Wolcott from Vanity Fair on the election, and so much more here on Air America Radio.
PetSmart is saying thank you to the nation's pet parents with incredible bonus offers throughout the store. Come into PetSmart today and save $2 on a 50.1-pound bonus bag. That's 6 pounds free of Pedigree brand dog food. Only Pedigree has healthy nuggets with antioxidants to help your dog live a healthier, happier life. Don't miss your chance to save on big bonus offers throughout the store during Pet Parent Appreciation Days. Going on now for a limited time, only at PetSmart. While supplies last, see store for details.
The Radio Shack Dictionary of Gizmos. Today's definition, the long life doodad, as described by Vanessa Williams.
It's the gizmo that can keep your smoke alarms working longer. Because climbing up to replace those things isn't exactly fun.
So at Radio Shack, when you ask for
those long life doodads,
we'll show you our lithium 9-volt smoke alarm battery. And you'll get peace of mind knowing it'll last up to 10 years. So come in for easy answers to all your electronic accessory needs.
I'll take a long life doodad over a short life doodad every time.
Radio Shack. You've got questions, we've got answers.
You're listening to 1190 WLIB New York, the home of Air America Radio.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. Turkish truckers are saying no to transporting goods to U.S. forces in Iraq. It appears the assignment is just too dangerous. Truckers decided to bow to the demands of Iraqi insurgents who kidnapped two Turkish drivers over the weekend. The announcement comes on the heels of a release of a video posted on the internet showing militants apparently shooting dead a Turkish hostage kidnapped in the country. Still unknown as when the shooting took place. Retired Air Force Chief of Staff and one-time veteran for Bush, retired General Tony McPeak, says America's foreign relations for the first 3 years of President George W. Bush's first term have been a national disaster. General McPeak went on to say that Bush's Democratic rival John Kerry is up for the task of rebuilding Iraq. McPeak also says with John Kerry as president, he would not waste a minute in bringing action on reforms urged by the 9/11 Commission. At the same time, the retired general said that Kerry would make sure that America's military stays strong. Washington Post reports that nearly a third of the National Guard and Reserve troops returning from war with illnesses or injuries are forced to wait more than 4 months to learn whether they'll be compensated under the military's disability system. U.S. government has raised the terrorist threat level in parts of New York City and the nation's capital this morning, especially around financial institutions. Homeland Security Chief Tom Ridge yesterday said there was enough credible evidence to do so. Still unknown as what prompted the Intelligence Committee to consider such action. New York's status has remained in orange, indicating a high risk of terrorist attacks since the September 11, 2001 attacks. Washington, D.C. has remained at a lower level at yellow. New intelligence that Al-Qaeda terrorist network plans to attack financial and international institutions in New York has led police to urge extra security precautions at various city buildings. Also not known was how the attacks would actually occur. One-time Democratic presidential candidate Howard Dean is throwing cold water on the latest terrorist alert level increase. Dean contends politics may be behind the latest move to boost the president's poll numbers after last week's successful Democratic National Convention. Dean believes the threat activity is probably credible, but the timing of its release is rather curious.
I am concerned that every time something happens that's not good for President Bush, he plays this trump card, which is terrorism. His whole campaign is based on the notion that I can keep you safe, therefore, in a times of difficulty for America, stick with me, and then out comes Tom Ridge. It's just impossible to know how much of this is real and how much of this is politics, and I suspect there's some of both in it.
Former Democratic presidential candidate Howard Dean, the Republican Party was quick to respond to criticism that the raise in the threat level was tied to countering the bounce Democratic presidential nominee John Kerry received after the party's convention last week. Wayne Gilman, Air America Radio News.
You need to buy or sell your home, but where do you start?
Sorry to interrupt, but the place to start is LendingTree.com. You can search home listings, have real estate agents compete for your business, and bankers compete for your mortgage. You can even get up to a $2,000 gift card to the Home Depot when you close with an agent certified by LendingTree. Call 1-800-555-TREE. That's 1-800-555-TREE, or visit LendingTree.com. Equal housing opportunity. Some restrictions may apply. See website for details and licensing. LendingTree, Inc. is not affiliated with the Home Depot.
Honey, come on. Time to get up.
What?
People will be here soon.
All right. I'm going to take a shower. Who are you?
Hi. We're here for the open house. The sign says for sale by owner. That is you, right? Nice sink.
Thank you.
Not working with a Century 21 agent? Only Century 21 agents offer the Century 21 Service Pledge. Just one of the ways to help reduce the stress of selling real estate. Century21.com. Real estate for your world.
The Century 21 Pledge is offered by participating offices. Each office is independently owned and operated.
Hey, Steve?
Yeah?
I'm taking a Nicorette like you said, but right now, I really need a cigarette. And according to my schedule, I'm not supposed to take another piece for 2 hours. So, what should I do? And don't tell me to tough it out, because it's not going to be pretty.
Take an extra piece?
Good idea.
When a really tough craving hits, just take an extra piece of Nicorette. As soon as you bite down, it delivers the medicine you need. Nicorette helps you quit one craving at a time. Use as directed. Follow dosing schedule. Individual results may vary. Support program can improve success rates.
Your oldest has just turned driving age. Time to add them to your policy. So you get in your car, drive down to your insurance company. Hunt for a space, double park, get a parking ticket, get in a fight with the meter maid, get thrown in jail, meet a guy named Wally. Wait a minute. This is just a bad dream. You've got GEICO. You don't have to drive anywhere. You can do all that car insurance stuff online. Oh, that was a close one.
GEICO's customer satisfaction stands at 97%. How would you rate your car insurance company? GEICO. Online at GEICO.com.
Ah, the peak of allergy season, Ragweed.
Yeah, pollen, the best time to make them suffer.
Why take an OTC allergy medicine that stops working in 6 hours? Just one dose of once daily Allegra with fexofenadine lasts up to 4 times longer than one dose of most OTC allergy medicines. Comparison based on label directions. See our ad in Prevention Magazine. Visit Allegra.com or call 1-800-ALLEGRA. For people 12 and over, side effects alone may include headache, cold, or backache.
Allegra takes the joy out of our allergy season.
Talk to your doctor. Today, take once daily long-lasting Allegra. The relief goes on.
Listen to Air America Radio whenever and wherever you want. We're available 24/7 on the Internet. Just hit our website, www.airamericaradio.com. All you need to do is complete a quick online registration. Once that's done, you're ready to take us live. Air America uses the Real One Player for our streaming. www.airamericaradio.com. Streaming now, live, 24/7. www.airamericaradio.com.
I'm Mark Maron. It's 6 past the hour here on Air America Radio, and this is Morning Sedition.
All right, strap yourself in. Good morning, geniuses. Mark Maron here, of course, with Mark Riley over there.
I can't talk. I got a poppy stuck between my teeth.
I got a few of them in my teeth. You know, it was so, like, amazing. I don't even know why. But sometimes, like, you know, that was the best bagel I ever ate in my life.
Me too.
For no reason. For no reason.
It was just wonderful.
It was no different than any other bagel that we bring up here. But for some reason, it was just like we were all sitting here over the break just like, oh, my God, this is the best bagel I've ever had in my life. And then Mark looked at me and said, this is the best day ever. And I'm like, you're not kidding. And then there was music swelling up. Yeah, right.
There we go.
What are we? Come on, man.
You know, put down the bong.
Dude, please. Yeah, I've not had a bong in my hand. I'm coming up on 5 years with no drugs or booze.
Really?
5 years in next week. Yeah, I know. I'm trying to be anonymous about it, but I can't.
It's pretty... Actually, you have a quote from Anonymous, don't you?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I actually do. It's pretty amazing stuff. You know, I was watching the other day. It was a good transition, but I'm not going to jump on it.
I know.
It was a great segue, but I'm not ready for it because I have not talked about me enough.
And go ahead, talk about you.
Well, I'm watching TV, and they had the Lance Armstrong story on. You know, on CNN, one of those biographies.
Oh, probably on ESPN Classic or one of the ESPN channels.
I think it was this morning. I think it must have been the tail end of CNN or something. No,
okay.
Maybe it was last night. I'm not sure, but it was the one where you go through the cancer and everything else.
Yeah.
And like how he beat cancer and how he rose back up, and it really inspired me. I mean, I felt just energized, and I realized this morning that I'm going to do it, man.
What? Beat cancer? You're sick?
I'm gonna win the Tour de France.
Oh, you're gonna win the Tour de France?
You're gonna date
Sheryl Crow too?
I don't know. I think I gotta start by buying a bike. I'm gonna buy a bike this week and I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna rise to the occasion.
What kind of bike are you gonna get?
I don't know. Do you need to, is that important? Can I just get one of those Schwinn's?
Yeah, sure. One-speed
with the banana seat and then the three-speed switcher.
I can see it now. Comic wins Tour de France on a one-speed
Schwinn. On a one-speed Schwinn with the banana seat and chopper bars. What are those handlebars called?
Yeah.
Those are great. The big
chopper bars.
Yeah, I remember I had one with a sparkly gold seat when I was like
really?
Six. Yeah, it was pretty fancy Schwinn. Thought they were so cool, man.
Well, your parents must have been able to really afford nice stuff for you.
Why aren't they talking about the issues?
We need to talk about the issues.
We're fighting for our lives here. I'll tell you what we'll talk about. Now I'll talk about it.
Okay.
Anonymous, the cat who wrote...
Imperial...
Hubris.
Hubris. Sorry.
Hubris.
Jonathan, if you're listening, that's hubris.
Oh, yeah, let's wake our producer up who's got jury duty. Oh, my God. James Walcott's in the other room listening. It's going, this is the show I'm doing? I thought this was
no.
America League.
James Walcott isn't in the room. He's back out at the elevator bank on his way back down.
They don't even pipe it in the green room, do they? Oh, they do? Good morning, James. Let's bring it up a notch.
Yeah.
Because we're going to go into it with him about reading the news coverage of the conventions, which we talked about a lot on Thursday and Friday, how CNN not only dropped the ball, but they seem to be working for the other side. It's all about them. Buzzkill Blitzer, Doofus Woodruff. And Smarty Pants Greenfield. All right, here we go. So he's being interviewed, oddly, at where was this interview taken from? I know where it was taken from. American Conservative.
The American Conservative.
Because we look on both sides. We're open-minded here.
That's right.
They said that you said that Iraq was the best Christmas present that Osama bin Laden could have possibly received. And Anonymous says, have you seen the movie Christmas Story where the boy wants a Red Ryder air gun and his mom says no? Then at the end of Christmas Day, he has opened all his presents. He gets the gun and he thinks, my God, I really got it. I never thought I'd get it. Iraq was Osama's Red Ryder BB gun. It was something he always wanted, but something he never expected. Which goes to say that this president that we have in office right now is definitely the terrorist choice for president.
You know what that implies, don't you?
Tell me.
It implies that were it not for going into the war of Iraq, America might have had a better than even chance of actually capturing Osama bin Laden, dead or alive, by now.
Or had they even finished the job in Afghanistan that, you know, many liberals thought was the right thing to do, many didn't. But, I mean, that was one of the points where, you know, people thought it was a justified, you know, war. It was Afghanistan, and they didn't finish there, and they took the opportunity to just use it as a gateway drug to Iraq.
Yeah.
Afghanistan sure is a gateway drug to Iraq for war addicts.
And, you know, Anonymous is not some guy off the street, okay? This is not a guy who, you know, plays the crap tables in Vegas for a living.
He's part of the angry intelligence community.
That's right. And there are a lot more angry intelligence people than even that have done books or appeared on talk shows. There are a lot of people in the intelligence community who really feel battered by this Bush administration. From the minute Dick Cheney dropped his chauffeur-driven limo out in front of, Langley? Is that where they're from?
Yeah, CIA.
Yeah, CIA headquarters. From that day forward, these people have felt put upon because their professionalism has been... Remember, Cheney questioned their professionalism. How come you can't get this intel that we know is out there about Saddam Hussein?
Yeah, in other words, trim the stuff you have, even if it's speculative, to fit our agenda.
Absolutely.
And then we'll take it and we'll go on this unilateral disaster course in Iraq. And then when people start questioning the integrity of our decisions, we'll blame you guys.
Now, we also see coming from Iraq a series of coordinated explosions over the weekend ended up killing 12 people, including two children. And these explosions were timed to coincide with Sunday evening church services, Christian church services. Now,
there's not that many in Baghdad.
There are not that many in,
but they got them.
There are some.
Yeah.
And what apparently a lot of the insurgent problem with Christianity at this point is the fact that the people that are selling alcohol in Baghdad are, in fact, Christians. Now, we talked, Mark, about 3-4 weeks ago.
It's horrible.
About the fact that this influx of foreign fighters mm-hmm. into Iraq, many of them fundamentalists
yeah.
of various tenets
of Islam. Some of them, yeah, some of them are just, you know, Islamic nationalists. And many of them are terrorist cells and, you know, Zarqawi flunkies. And
yeah.
a lot of, it's all different.
But it's all different people.
This sounds like a nationalist Islamic group, though.
Well, yeah, and the thing is, these are people that have a serious problem with alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
With alcohol being sold openly, they see alcohol as being symptomatic of the West and the problems that the West brings with it. That it doesn't want to acknowledge, and that's an important part of this, too,
mm-hmm.
that the West doesn't acknowledge that, you know, selling alcohol creates any problems in their own societies. So what happens? Now they've decided, let's target the Christians. Let's make the Christians as afraid as we're making foreign truck drivers at this point, of
mm-hmm.
which I believe they're still holding seven.
Mm-hmm.
And what they're saying is, you can't, I think what they're saying to the Iraqi people is, Christianity is the religion of America.
Yeah.
And as such, it represents the occupation. It represents the fact that, you know, your life is so much different for the worse than it was even when Saddam was in power.
Not to mention that this president is a fanatic Christian.
Yes.
Who supports, you know, he actually sent missionaries. There are people there trying to convert Muslims
to Christianity.
Yeah.
Not smart.
And I guess this is just the Islamic way of enforcing their blue laws, which is, you know, no alcohol after ever.
That's ever. Right. And, you know, they're very serious about this. There were situations where you had insurgents on the streets of Baghdad, for example, blowing up some liquor stores. And I believe a lot of the places that they've been going after recently
mm-hmm.
were situations where people went into liquor stores that had already been blown up once.
Yeah.
And now they're trying to reopen, trying to sell this alcohol. And remember, too, that there were people that were literally abusing women.
Mm-hmm.
Who would not dress in traditional Muslim garb as well. Now, you mentioned earlier, Mark, and I don't know if we've cleared this up yet, the whole issue of the abused spouse situation.
Well, my theory, that it's not even my theory. I remember I had a conversation last week. I can't remember who with, though, and we were talking about the way that Bush uses fear, the way that Bush terrorizes people into being afraid of terrorism and terrorizes the nation into, you know, a constant state of sort of free-floating anxiety, which is abusive. If you were in a relationship and someone, you know, kept saying, like, I'm going to hit you. And it's not the terrorists who are saying that, it's our president. So what happens is you start to, you know, rely on the person, the only person in your life that is the most abusive
mm-hmm.
because it feels like, you know, love to you. It's a victim mode of engaging in the world that you're terrified and the only person that you can trust to lead you out of the terror is the person terrifying you.
And on the other hand, we have in Iraq real, genuine people are getting killed type terrorists. Now, again, what happened September 11th was certainly an act of terror, and no one, least of all us, want to ignore that or downplay that.
Right.
But what we've seen in Iraq is a targeted kind of terrorism that is aimed specifically at Iraqi men, women, and children in an effort to try and discredit not just the occupation and the occupiers, but the government that they believe the occupiers have set up
to
run the country.
To create an Islamic state.
Yeah, to try and create an Islamic state before an election.
Right.
Because that's the important issue for them.
And we're before an election here, too, and there's a lot of terror going on here, but only, you know, through threats from our administration.
Yes.
Be afraid and vote for Bush is the message. We'll be back in a minute on Air America Radio.
So by now you know that XM Satellite Radio has over 120 channels of 100% commercial-free music, plus news, sports, and talk this year. But do you know about the Delphi XM Rode 2, the smallest and lightest satellite radio ever? It even has a stock ticker that you can customize with up to 20 of your favorite stocks, and a built-in wireless audio adapter so you can easily listen to it through any car or home stereo. All for less than $130. XM Satellite Radio. Required $9.99 monthly subscription and hardware sold separately. Activation fee applies.
I was cheering when Amanda took her first steps the other day, but ever since, I've been running after her in a permanently bent-over position, and now my back is really hurting.
What should you take for back pain? Truth is, doctors recommend the medicine in Advil most for back pain.
Every day she's gonna get a little faster, and I'll be right behind her. Amanda! Here we go again.
Talk to your doctor. For back pain relief, advance to Advil Relief.
This invitation may change the way you look at life if you are dependent on glasses or contact lenses to see at a distance or for reading. Customized laser vision treatments that correct the unique imperfections in your vision 25 times more accurately than other methods are now available at New York Presbyterian Hospital, Weill Cornell Medical Center. Dr. Sandra Belmont, director of the cornea service at Cornell Medical College, provides the most advanced and precise FDA-approved wave scan-driven corrections to safely improve eyesight for people with problems reading and seeing at a distance, and help throw away your glasses and contact lenses. To see what you've been missing and learn more about wave scan-driven and no-touch laser vision procedures, call Dr. Belmont at 212-746-2020. That's 212-746-2020. Or visit us at www.cornelllaservision.com.
The folks from off zipped me into this tent filled with 10,000 hungry mosquitoes and biting flies, but they're not biting me. That's because I've got the proven DEET protection of Off Deep Woods. Off Deep Woods is like a shield against hungry, biting mosquitoes, including those that may carry West Nile virus. For the worst bug situations, you want the best protection you can get, and you just can't beat the DEET in Off Deep Woods.
S.E. Johnson, a family company.
The ATM. Insert your card, enter your PIN number, get 420s and a handful of streptococci. Don't let germs interrupt your ATMing. Use Purell Instant Hand Sanitizer and kill 99.9% of most common germs that may make you sick. The CDC says eliminating germs on hands helps stop the spread of infection. So use the ATM, but use Purell, because you may withdraw a fistful of cold, hard E. coli. Purell, powerful protection against germs.
Good morning. It's morning's edition. It's time for the Rockford Files, I guess. I'm Mark Maron. It's Mark Riley.
Present.
We'll introduce our guest in just a second. But first, if you're listening to Air America Radio, if you're wondering. Today we got the from Ramon in the Oval Office. Here's the presidential palm pilot. Here's the president's schedule for today, August 2nd. 8 o'clock a.m., wake up, stay on message. Kerry is a flip-flopper. If he's not saving his comrades in battle, he's serving his country in the Senate. Why can't this guy make up his mind? 8:30 a.m., study 9/11 commission report. Stupid commission. It's keeping me from a day of fundraising and Kerry bashing. 10:35 a.m., meet with cabinet. Should be short meeting, as they are no longer speaking to me. 12 noon, appoint new intelligence czar. Assure American people he will not be Russian or Dick Cheney or effective. 1 p.m. Announce 20 new appointments during congressional recess. So Senate Announce 20 new appointments during congressional recess so Senate can't object. Why are there so many openings? And what did Powell mean by the term fleeing like rats? 3 p.m. Appoint new chairman of the Federal Trade Commission. Make sure he knows the difference between promising lower gas prices and actually lowering gas prices. 5 p.m. Check latest polls. Try to find missing numbers of mass approval. 7 p.m. Call Tom Ridge. Scream at him. You can't leave me. Nobody leaves George W. Bush. Make 15 identical calls to various government officials. 10 p.m. bedtime. Think happy thought. I'll replace them all, and I'll get conservatives this time. Nothing? I get nothing? Jim Walker. I get no laughs from Jim Walker. He's there like, let's see, I'm assessing the media and radio.
I think he's assessing whether he wants to stay here.
He's going to stay. We got James Walcott here. He's a contributing editor to Vanity Fair. His new book, Attack Poodles and Other Media Mutants, The Looting of the News in a Time of Terror, which is about the media in the Bush era, is coming out in 2 weeks. It's a nice-looking book. Thanks for bringing a cover.
Yeah.
Good morning.
Aqua blue cover.
Well, this is exactly what we want to talk about, man, because we were yelling about this last week on Thursday and Friday. Mm-hmm. The coverage of the Democratic National Convention by CNN, of all people, you know what I mean, was like, it seems completely, you know, self-indulgent and also really biased in the way that they place Republican commentators.
Well, it was incredibly biased. Also, it was incredibly prissy. I mean, they were sort of like policing the message. I mean, to me, the premier moment of CNN's coverage was after Al Sharpton's speech.
Yes.
When you cut to four middle-aged, tired-looking white people going at their watches, flipping their watches and going,
Well, he went 14 minutes over. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure that's the kind of message.
You know, he's roused up the entire hall.
I blew his gasket.
You know, and they're all doing...
Well, and I really... And I thought, when did they all become such a bunch of nannies?
Nannies, you know, it's like...
It's like
the nanny. It's like, you know, it's like, no, you can play for 2 minutes more, and then we're going to take you in. I'm sorry.
And just to, like, upstage the message and to, like, bring it back to their stupid little empty lives, I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, no, and it was like that all week long.
Yeah.
I mean, and they were so proud of their headphones. It was like they weren't paying attention to what they were saying into their mouthpieces. It was all like, well, does it look like it gives me a mold? They did a segment on their... The headpieces.
I was baffled, and especially at that moment with Sharpton. When I saw them do that, I was like, what is really going on here? And then after they have Ralph Reed, you know, be the right after Edwards, whose speech was it?
Edwards.
Reed. It was Edwards.
8 minutes of Ralph Reed.
Why would they put that guy on television? What, do they think they're being balanced? I mean, why?
At one point I cut, and they said, and now we go to our contributor, Tori Clark. I thought... Tori Clark, she was like a Pentagon spokesperson, and now she's sitting there with her little haircut, and she's, and I thought, well, wait a minute, it only will be tolerable or be acceptable if when we do they do the Republican convention, if they're cutting, but I have a feeling we're not going to see Terry McAuliffe roaming around the halls of the Republican convention.
Well, how about Al Franken or any like, you know, Democratic commentators or liberal commentators? Are they going to do that? They're not going to allow that.
No, I was stunned. Also, part of it was they all looked bored with it. I mean, here's a production that's done for TV, and all the TV people do is complain about it. You know, it's like, well, there's no drama, there's no this. It's like, yeah, because you guys basically have dominated what the coverage is going to be.
Right, and they didn't do any reporting. They just sort of like, you know, had these weird reactions, and then they made it about themselves.
Yeah,
that's
increasingly what the media does, is they make it about themselves.
And what's happened in news, though? How does that happen? Is it just...
I think there are a lot of things that happen. I mean, part of it is that the media has become sort of a self-reinforcing clique.
Mm-hmm.
They pay more attention to what each other thinks of each other's opinions.
So it's an inside game.
Yeah, it's an inside game, and so that's why certain things take hold, and then they just get circulated, and it just whirl around, and you can hear, you know, if you listen. You know, Imus will say it, and then someone else will say it, and then they're all sort of repeating the same thing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's what this, you know, Bob Summerby on his site Daily Holler calls, you know, the cool kids.
They all
want to be part of the cool kids club.
Right, right.
And so there's a lot of that, and there's also just a basic lack of, like, energy and initiative anymore. It's like they forgot why they got into it. Now it's all about holding on to the job.
Right, yeah, right.
You know, it's like Blazing Saddles. We've got to protect our phony baloney jobs. You know?
Exactly. Well, you know, in the old days, it seemed as though it was like everyone was trying to get somewhere. Local news guy who acted, you know, prissy, mm-hmm. was trying to get a network gig. A network guy who was acting prissy was trying to become an anchor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was all this whole change. Now it seems like you're right. Everybody's kind of gotten where they want to be. And as a result, they treat the Democratic National Convention like a bunch of local New York people who've been assigned to a story in Jersey.
Yeah, I wish, you know, it's like none of these people now should be allowed to invoke Edward R. Murrow or any of the former greats. It's like, you guys have betrayed that legacy, quit holding him up, you know, just stop it. You know, it's been so long since CNN has shown any real guts and initiative and broken something big.
Absolutely. We're talking to James Wolcott. He's the contributing editor to Vanity Fair, and his book, Attack Poodles and Other Media Mutants, The Looting of the News in a Time of Terror, will be available in a couple weeks. Now, can you explain a little to me, because I'm young, and
to me, because I'm not.
What it meant, really, what did it mean to be someone like Edward R. Murrow? What did it mean to have, journalist credentials? And how do these guys, why have they bastardized it so much? And what did it mean then?
Well, what it meant then was that these guys had an authority because most of them had started out on radio.
Mm-hmm.
And they had really covered events. I mean, Edward R. Murrow, I mean, he became famous because, you know, his reports from London, this... is London. I mean, he had
learned that pause.
And Walter Cronkite, they had all come up through radio. A lot of them had been newspapermen.
Yes.
The tradition of newspapermen going into radio and then into TV is now practically gone. But the way it works now is everybody leapfrogs right into TV, because if you're photogenic, you go right into it.
But the whole nature of journalism has become corrupted in the age of media.
Well, and see, with Murrow, it was also, there was a sense of civic responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
It
was trust.
Yeah, there was a sense of public trust. But that was part of a larger public trust, which was that the airwaves were not meant simply to be commercial and also simply to purvey the government's message.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was perverted even back then, but not to the extent it is now. There was a sense of, like, we have – that's why they would run – many more documentaries in prime time that they never run now.
Okay, we got to take we're going to take your calls for James Walcott if you want to talk to him from Vanity Fair about all things media, specifically about how politics is covered right now.
Our number, of course, 866-303-2270. 303-2270. 866 is the area code. And, you know, when we come back, I want to talk a little bit about that time. I remember watching Walter Cronkite when Kennedy was assassinated. Mm-hmm. And it was never any question or any doubt in anyone's mind that that was the person that you watched.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He had the authority. I mean, the guy almost broke down. First and only time I think I ever saw Walter Cronkite break down on TV. But he was such an extraordinary authority figure. I mean, your parents could use him as an example. Who would they use? Who, you know, when I have a 7-year-old daughter. There is nobody on TV now, nobody that I would use as an example for her, that's for sure.
Yeah. We'll be back in a minute after this on Air America Radio.
Want to add your 2 cents? Give us a call at 866-303-2270 and give us your best shot.
Want to turn your car into a stealth fighter? Invisible to all types of speed detection equipment, including radar and laser? Well, now you can with Phaser. With a range of up to 3 miles, the Phaser guarantees that you will avoid all types of speed traps. In fact, the manufacturer will even pay your fine if you get a ticket. More than a mere radar detector. The Phaser works by bouncing a mixture of radar signals and invisible infrared pulses to confuse the computer inside the radar or laser gun. The Phaser is the ultimate way to avoid costly speeding tickets. In fact, it is been made illegal in some states, so call now for details. Remember, the Phaser is guaranteed or your speeding ticket is paid. So if you never want to worry about hearing this again, go stealth and get the Phaser today.
To order risk-free, call now 866-794-6495. That's 866-794-6495. Call 866-794-6495.
Not available in California, Minnesota, Nebraska, Virginia, Oklahoma, or Washington, D.C. Certain restrictions apply to guarantee. Call for details.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. Pakistan's interior minister says an Al-Qaeda suspect in custody is sharing vital information, but he gives no details. The Pakistanis have found plans for new attacks against the U.S. and Great Britain. Turkish Truckers Association says it will stop delivering goods to U.S. forces in Iraq and what appeared to be a direct response to insurgents' brutal videotape killing of a Turkish hostage and an attempt to win freedom for two other captives. Another militant group is reportedly ready to release a Somali truck driver because his company has agreed to withdraw from Iraq. In a videotape on Al Jazeera television, the militants appear with the kneeling hostage. Television anchorman says the militants are releasing the man in appreciation of the Somali government. And the 9/11 Commission report says a senior Pentagon official lamented the lack of good targets in Afghanistan and proposed instead U.S. military attacks in South America or anywhere in Southeast Asia. Wayne Gilman, Air America Radio News.
What do you call 20 million gays and lesbians? A dream market. How do you reach this dream market? Become an exhibitor at the Gay Life Expo, November 6th and 7th at the Javits Convention Center. Our audience has almost double the national average household income, spend prolifically, and are extremely brand loyal. They are highly educated, travel extensively, and entertain frequently. For exhibitor information, call 212-352-3535 or visit GayLifeExpo.com. Sell and promote your products, get consumer feedback or names on mailing lists of potential customers, make an enormous impact on one of the most highly desirable demographic groups, all in an upscale, fun environment. For exhibitor information, call 212-352-3535 or visit GayLifeExpo.com. Produced by CMA, a Matthew Banks Steve Levenberg event. Call 212-352-3535.
Have you been asking yourself, where's my official Air America Radio t-shirt, tote bag, travel mug, and baseball cap? Well, they're here. Just go to airamericaradio.com and click on our Get the Gear banner. It's that easy.
You'll need money and a credit card.
Check out our Air America Radio classic thong and dog shirt.
Note, these are two separate items. Do not put an Air America Radio thong on your dog. That would be wrong.
Get all your Air America gear at airamericaradio.com. Wear the air.
The Air America phones are ringing off the hook.
I think the parents and also the administrators should support the teachers.
Everyone's calling Air America Radio.
O'Connor said that she would only retire during a Republic presidency. Does she and Rehnquist know something we don't?
866-303-AAR0. Call and let it rip.
You're being a little bit too kind about the Ralph Nader. I think he's a total hypocrite.
Air America Radio. We're listening.
Good morning, geniuses. Mark Maron here with Mark Riley.
Hi.
On Morning's Edition, Air America Radio. We're talking to James Walcott, who is a contributing editor to Vanity Fair, and he's just got a new book coming out in a couple of weeks, Attack Poodles and Other Media Mutants, The Looting of the News in a Time of Terror. And there's so many angles at which we can go at this election coverage, you know, and the coverage of the Democratic National Convention, another of which was there was a time where things actually used to happen at the convention in terms of, well, there were a lot of surprising speeches and a lot of great uplifting moments, but apparently, you know, when you covered a convention, what, up to, what, 20 years ago, there was all kinds of action going on.
Well, there was drama. If you go back to 1964, for example.
Yeah.
Democratic Convention, when the Mississippi Freedom Democratic Party tried to sit in the Mississippi delegation seats, and, you know, people were walking out of the convention. I mean, it was drama.
Right. But
even before that, there was a time in this country when the nominee was not decided before the convention. Mm-hmm. So you actually went to the convention and you had all these different ballots that would go on through the night and into the next day trying to decide who the nominee was going to be. No such drama now.
Yeah. Well, the old pros say that it really changed around 1972, the Republican convention in Miami Beach. That was the first convention that really was super scripted.
Yeah.
The other problem now is because of the incredible security, nobody wants anything too spontaneous because right now spontaneity in a crowded setting is going to make everybody nervous. It's like, wait a minute, why did they all yell at one time? You know, now
the wrong kind of spontaneity can set off a little
set off alarms, you know.
Look at that guy from the DNC with the balloons. They were the wrong kind of spontaneity right there.
Let's not forget the balloon crisis. We got some calls here. Andy in the Bronx, how are you, buddy?
What's up?
Well, actually, I'm fine, and I'm more like Missy than Buddy. But
okay.
Hi.
Hi.
I was just saying earlier, I am so glad somebody else had the same reaction to all the networks other than Stan, but particularly CNN, the same thing. After the Sharpton speech, I was going, that's great. He said so many things I wanted. And Judy Woodruff acted like that girl at the party when you walk in. Well, you guys don't know this, but there must be something that's analogous. You walk in, you think you look great, and she says, well, that's a really pretty dress. I'm not sure I would have worn it here. It just took everything out of it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It was a complete buzzkill, all of them, just undermining.
Ridiculous. Yeah. And as I said, the networks treated this convention like a bad reality show.
Yeah, let's talk to James about that. Now, what about the network's refusal to cover it in any real lengthy way, and just to trivialize it? Do you think that has an impact on people who are watching the voters?
It has an impact on what they didn't see because they didn't see the great speech of the convention.
Yeah,
you know?
Barack Obama. They didn't cover that.
Yeah, they didn't get that. Well, because they had set their time in. It's like we're not going to start until 10 o'clock, no matter what. I mean, the thing about cable is cable at least can break in to whatever they're doing.
Yeah.
The networks now, it's like, God forbid we should cut into, our comedy reruns because then we'll get all the switchboard will light up.
Or Fear Factor.
Yeah. Fear Factor, any of those shows. A lot of that stuff was missed because of the hour. And also it affected the speeches because, I mean, I'm sure you're all aware of it. A number of the speakers were really rushing. You could tell they were on the clock. I felt Edwards was rushing. They did not want to get cut off at 11 o'clock with, like, four sentences to go.
Yeah, God forbid, right?
Yeah.
strike, we go over prime time. Do you think now, this just came into my head, because I know we've been critical of it, you've been critical of it, and there's certainly the left press has been critical of the coverage. Do you think they're going to change their ways and go, all right, you want it that way? We're going all the networks are going to cover all of the Republican National Convention.
No, they're not going to do it. What I'm going to be interested in seeing is CNN got very bad. They got a very bad reaction, not just on the internet, but in some of the print press I saw. I want to see if they're going to alter their coverage at all for the Republican convention, or if they're going to be in the tank.
Yeah.
I mean, that's something I'm interested in seeing.
Are they planning on being on the floor? Do you know? Are they going to do it exactly like are they going to be right up in there like they were for this convention?
Well, I would think so.
Yeah, they'll have the same kind of little skybox or space on the floor that looks like they're out in the middle of the floor, but they're not really.
See, I think that's what I thought. Personally, I thought that was what the problem was. It's like they didn't have a home studio. They should have just had a couple of people there covering it and then had the commentators back in the studio so it didn't look like it was a rigged game.
They all wanted to show off their headsets.
Exactly.
They wanted to model their headsets. They needed a runway to model their headsets.
All right, we got Hank in Brooklyn. What's up, Hank?
Hey, Hank.
Yeah, hi. I wanted to ask the guest, is there any way looking forward to get some pressure on CNN? You mentioned Terry McAuliffe. To have somebody the complement of Ralph Reed, but on our side following when somebody on their side makes a comment, is there any way listeners or viewers can reach out and put a little pressure on CNN to be more balanced?
That seems like something we should be able to do. You know what, Hank? I mean, I don't know if you can answer that, James, in any way, but I imagine we should find some contact numbers, and we should find some way that we can contact and at least, rally to get CNN.
Why don't we get Al Sharpton to be a commentator? Give him 8 minutes after Dick Cheney.
Because that'll be 20 minutes. And then... All right, we got Evelyn in New York. Evelyn?
Hi, Evelyn.
Hi, good morning, guys. I really love your program. But what I wanted to say is everybody's talking about the commentators. I wouldn't deign to watch them. I watch C-SPAN. And if you want a clear, unbiased look at how the convention went, there was no idiot commentary. There was no nothing. You saw the convention in its entirety, or pick it up whenever you want. And nobody gives C-SPAN any credit for that, and that really upsets me.
You're right. You're absolutely right. C-SPAN, in an environment where everybody's busy looking in a mirror, C-SPAN shines the mirror on the actual convention, and I think they deserve a lot of credit for it, quite frankly.
Yeah, but I guess the reason why I get upset is that, I'm a guy that likes reporting. I like commentary. I like reflection. I like people to say something intelligent, to add a little something to the coverage. I look to newscasters to do that. And the reason that I watch... CNN.
Ask for too much.
No, I know I ask for too much, but I also am critical of CNN because a lot of people watch CNN. A lot of people, from both sides, and for them to start, kissing ass to these Republican commentators and giving them as much time during the Democratic National Convention, to me, was a transgression on their part.
Yeah. No, and in fact, there were times when I cut over to Fox, and Fox was actually doing a more balanced job.
Yeah.
What?
Which is a horrible realization to make.
Oh, that's a scary thing.
And then you go to MSNBC, and of course, Chris Matthews is doing his speed freak bebop, neo-hipster.
ha, 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 ha. That horrible laugh of his.
I mean, he got a hang-up for Teresa Hines-Carey. It was like he was comparing her to,
Sonia Braga.
Sonia Braga and spicy peppers and hot coffee.
Oh, my God. That's hilarious. Well, the book is Attack Poodles and Other Media Mutants, The Looting of the News in a Time of Terror. James Walcott, thanks for being with us. Really
Thank
appreciate
you.
It.
Yeah, it was great being here.
And we'll be back with you guys after this on Air America Radio.
Do you have trouble falling asleep? Do you get a full night's sleep but still wake up tired? Do you wake up with aches and pains? Answering yes means you need to change the way you sleep. Hi, I'm David Spillo of Dormia, announcing the grand opening of our newest showroom at the Garden State Plaza. Dormia uses modern sleep technology and the finest materials to create the most advanced sleep systems ever. NASA-developed memory foam for pressure relief, 100% pure Belgian latex for orthopedic support, and the finest European quilted covers for comfort and breathability. Dormia mattresses and adjustable beds are the most comfortable, luxurious, and healthiest beds you can buy. Now, during our grand opening sale, all mattresses at all stores have been reduced and include free delivery and installation. Also, qualified buyers receive no interest, no payment financing until 2005. So, try a Dormia and start sleeping better. Dormia at the Palisade Center, the Poughkeepsie Galleria, the Galleria Crystal Run in Middletown, the Danbury Fair Mall, the Crossgates Mall in Albany, the Willowbrook Mall, and now open at the Garden State Plaza.
Investors don't have to make a choice between service and low price.
Charles Schwab, founder and chairman of the Charles Schwab Corporation on low-cost investing.
It has been my pursuit since the very earliest of days to try to lower the cost of investing for every individual investor out there.
With trades as low as $9.95, Schwab's new Trades for Less has lowered the cost of online equity trades.
By driving down the cost, making it easier for people to get a variety of services that make them a better investor, that's what this company is all about.
Schwab offers online equity trades as low as $9.95, plus advice and unparalleled service. Call 1-800-7-SCHWAB or stop by your local branch today.
$9.95 rate requires enrollment in Schwab Trader CT or at least $1 million in household assets. Other trading discounts subject to eligibility requirements. Some benefits, including advice and certain equity research, available for a fee only through one or more Schwab Personal Choice or other fee-based services. New trading commissions effective 6/21/04. Charles Schwab & Co., Inc., member SIPC and NYSE.
Every day, Americans play a game. The stakes are very high.
Now stepping to the plate, the Smith family going for a home loan. The loan officer checking their credit report. This one's going to be close.
Wouldn't you like to know what's in your credit report before you apply for credit? Now you can. Log on to freecreditreport.com and find out how to get your credit report instantly and online for free.
It's a home run.
Log on to freecreditreport.com and win the biggest game of your life. Freecreditreport.com.
I was cheering when Amanda took her first steps the other day, but ever since, I've been running after her in a permanently bent over position, and now my back is really hurting.
What should you take for back pain? Truth is, doctors recommend the medicine in Advil most for back pain.
Every day she's going to get a little faster, and I'll be right behind her. Amanda, here we go again.
Talk to your doctor. For back pain relief, advance to Advil Relief.
Past the hour, morning's edition. Mark Maron here with Mark Riley there.
Hi!
Air America Radio, for all of you. Now it's time to take a look at the Presidential Daily Briefing, the highly classified, top secret document that crosses George W. Bush's desk every morning. Today's PDB from the intelligence community is entitled, Blitz on Kerry Could Backfire. Mr. President, it has come to our attention that you are planning a vicious assault on John Kerry during the month of August. Given your dismal record, going negative seems your only real strategy, but we must caution that a sustained attack on Kerry could have undesired consequences. We realize that you have no actual military experience, but one important lesson is this. You have to conserve your bullets. For example, if you start slamming Kerry for his Senate record during the 80s, which involved uncovering the Iran-Contra scandal, he might point out what you were doing, getting hammered and drilling dry holes all over Texas. This is not a war you want to escalate. We told you that about Iraq, too, but who knows? Maybe you'll decide to listen this time. You might want to try the charm offensive. But once again, you still have a serious lack of ammo problem. Given your present situation, we suggest you smile, stick to the script, and hope Jesus can bail you out. But we've heard he's not all that excited about you either. Respectfully, Office of Homeland Security.
Uh-oh.
Oh, my God.
Speaking of Homeland Security.
Dude.
Let's talk a little Sandy Berger. You may remember him, the former National Security Advisor.
I knew this one stick.
Who was accused of sticking some classified documents down his pants and walking out of the National Archives.
Those petty bastards. Of course they were just copies.
Well, yeah, and now officials who were looking into the removal of those documents say that Sandy Berger took no original materials, there are none missing, and nothing he reviewed was withheld from the 9/11 Commission.
There you go. So there another slander tactic.
That didn't work.
Didn't work.
Castert, Tom DeLay, both publicly said they thought Sandy Berger may well have removed those documents because they were potentially damaging to former President Bill Clinton.
Republicans.
Game over, man. It's game over.
Yep. So hopefully that will lay to rest all of the right-wing conspiracy theorists who thought that Sandy Berger was somehow trying to sabotage a commission, by the way, that Bush didn't want in the first place.
You give him too much credit. They are not conspiracy theorists. They are conspiracy designers. You know, they're not even deep enough to be theorists because all they do is they just take history, twist it around, and use it as a bat.
Yeah.
And then, they just keep slugging away until someone just says, you know what, enough.
Let me just throw this up against the wall and see if it sticks.
Right. How about a few facts for you? Oh, there's a fact. Yo, you don't know what that is? It just unraveled your little design there.
Well, I mean, I think this is good news for people who knew all along that Sandy Berger was nowhere near doing what they accused him of having done.
I started yelling at somebody. You know, if any of you liberals or progressives or even Democrats are in an argument where any of these idiots says, but it was Clinton just telling me, shut up. You know, shut up.
Yeah, right.
You know, they just try to blame everything on Clinton. It's like, shut it. Shut it up. You're crazy.
And if it's Andrea Pizer, just say, shut up, shorty.
Oh, Andrea Pizer. Scary, an idiot.
Scary person.
I don't know why I was reading that anyways.
You know what's amazing, though? And Mark, this is going to bother me for the rest of my life.
What?
That people in politics will indulge folks like Andrea Pizer, and on a larger scale, Robert Novak, and on a hyper scale, Tucker Carlson. They will appear with these people like, you know, they have something to gain.
They let them do it.
From being bothered with them.
Because these people, those sycophants, those dilettantes, those, you know, parasites on the political, you know, world, Tucker Carlson, Robert Novak, that's the only thing that validates these guys' lives. It's the only way that they aren't feel important is by, you know, connecting themselves to this agenda. I think that the ruling party has what do they care? It's like they're just journalists. Let them do our bidding. You know what I mean? And if they go too far, we can detach ourselves from them.
But see, my thing is, you know, how do you appear with what's very obviously or on what's very obviously a right-wing network and then don't come here? That's what bothers me.
Who do you want to come here?
John Kerry.
Oh, you want John Kerry to come here? Oh,
I mean, I know he was on with Al Franken, but
I thought you meant
we're not Al Franken.
I thought you meant like Carlson or somebody, Tucker.
No,
Carlson.
I don't want that. What would I want that idiot up here for?
No,
I want people
bloviating.
Yeah, I want people who know what they're getting out of this place.
Yeah,
to come here and be with. Why do they have to go someplace? You know. And then they wonder why you get Ralph Reed on CNN.
I think they might be nervous. I think they might be nervous.
Are they nervous? You think so?
I don't, you know.
Hear that liberal agenda and just fall to pieces.
I don't have a lot of tact, you know. I don't play the middle way. You know, I'm no.
That's my job to have tact.
I'm no John Stewart, you know what I mean? I'm not going to sit and pander. I'm not going to sit and, you know, sort of ride the middle.
And I'm no Martha Stewart. I'm not going to jail.
Yeah, I think that they're nervous like it. You know, I'm going to use some dicey language or I'm going to suck them into a conversation they might want, you know, not want to have. And also, you know, radio is a long form.
Yeah, it is.
You know, so they're just
but that's why Kalo's in here with us. If we use dicey language, he cuts us.
Yeah.
You know, what's the problem?
I'd love to have John Kerry on. I'm hoping that my buddy
Jim Loftus,
Jimmy, will get him on for us.
I mean, I'm picking on Kerry in this instance, but there are other people.
Like who?
Well, I don't want to miss on
just one person. Let's get
Hillary Clinton.
Okay, we're going to try and get
Hillary Clinton.
We are going to try and get her.
Her husband, the former president. You want me to run a list? Because I got a list, all right?
He's got enough attention, Bill. I'd like to get Hillary in here. We'll be back in a second on Air America Radio.
New York City, September 4th at Town Hall. Mother Jones Magazine presents The State of the Union, an evening of uncensored political comedy to benefit uncensored, uncompromising independent media. Starring Air America host Janine Garofalo and Liz Winstead. Bipartisan smartass Will Durst. Comic artist Ward Sutton, Eugene Merman, and friends. Tickets through Ticketmaster. More information at MotherJones.com.
Hi, I'm David Orrick, and I'm proud that over a million of my 8-pound Orrick XL vacuums are used around the world. What makes me really proud is that the Orrick XL upright is built in the good old USA. I'm proud of my American workers and my built-to-last American quality. Try it risk-free for 30 days. Call 1-800-989-4200. 1-800-989-4200. If someone tries to tell you that American products are second best, they obviously haven't tried my Oric XL.
When I saw how beautiful she was, I thought, this is just icing on the cake.
He put his things down and kissed me, and he said, not only is your heart beautiful, but you're beautiful on the outside also.
She took my breath away.
Hi, this is Dr. Neil Clark Warren, founder of eHarmony.com. Sometimes a simple love story says it all.
I have found someone to love me unconditionally.
It's emotional, spiritual, and physical.
This is the best I have felt in my life.
At eHarmony, we'd sure like to help you have that feeling of being in love with your soulmate. That's why at eHarmony, we match you on the deep dimensions of compatibility that make for relationships designed to last a lifetime.
This man is everything that I have ever dreamed of.
Let eHarmony help you find the love of your life. Log on to eHarmony and take our $40 personality profile. Yours free when you log on today. Lot of happy couples out there thanks to eHarmony.com.
Honey, come on. Time to get up.
What?
People will be here soon.
All right. I'm going to take a shower. Who are you?
Hi. We're here for the open house. The sign says for sale by owner. That is you, right? Nice sink.
Thank you.
Not working with the Century 21 agent? Only Century 21 agents offer the Century 21 Service Pledge. Just one of the ways to help reduce the stress of selling real estate. Century21.com. Real estate for your world.
The Century 21 Pledge is offered by participating offices. Each office is independently owned and operated.
Hey, Steve?
Yeah?
Take a Nicorette like you said, but right now, I really need a cigarette. And according to my schedule, I'm not supposed to take another piece for 2 hours. So, what should I do? And don't tell me to tough it out, because it's not going to be pretty.
Take an extra piece?
Good idea.
When a really tough craving hits, just take an extra piece of Nicorette. As soon as you bite down, it delivers the medicine you need. Nicorette helps you quit one craving at a time. Use as directed. Follow dosing schedule. Individual results may vary. Support program can improve success rate.
Yes! Good morning, America! I used to, man, that song when I was in high school. It's Mark Maron here. It's Morning Sedition. That's Mark Riley. It's weird. I had my energy level right up to a whole lot of Rosie there, and then, like, I just felt it go away, and I'm like, why try to keep up with Angus? You know what I mean? I'm only a man. I'm at the website of the what do you call it? It's that new movie, the Trey Parker. Team America.
Team America.
This looks hilarious. What's the name of that show, Riley, that you said that you remember from back in the day?
The Thunderbirds.
The Thunderbirds. I vaguely remember it. I don't remember watching it, but they use all those sort of marionettes and the puppets.
Yeah, it was a British TV series, extremely popular in Britain and also very popular here. And I believe they show reruns of it on one of the there's like a retro cartoon channel.
Yeah.
I think it's called Boom or something like a Boomerang. I think they show it.
Yeah. This thing looks hilarious. It looks hilarious to me. It's all about the war on terror. I guess it's got Cheney in it. It's got Osama bin Laden. It's got everyone in it. And apparently the White House or somebody within the administration said, quote, "I really do not think terrorism is funny, and I would suggest Paramount give respect to those fighting and sacrificing to keep America safe." That's right. Why not do a little censorship? That always helps out to really sell the point that you are of a democratic ilk.
Land of the free?
Here, this is just unconscionable, not funny. You know, maybe, you know, being satirical and maybe, you know, making light of things that seem very horrendous, even though they're a bit abstract to some people, is a way to deal with fear. Instead of surrendering to the fear, maybe to make light of it through humor is a way to inform and also relieve yourself of fear that may or may not be founded. You know, in terms of, like, you know, being, you know, saturated with fear on a day-to-day basis by this administration, constantly warning us that we need to be afraid without giving us any real parameters of that fear or context or anything that we can really do about it. What are we supposed to do? Just sit and cry and wait for, you know, this leader to lead us, what, into more fear? How about getting a couple laughs? Yeah, some laughing would be good.
Well, you know, it's funny. I just, you can actually go to the beginning of the trailer. You can't go through the whole thing.
It's so funny. You and I are so bad at, like, doing computer and talking.
I know. I know. It's ridiculous.
Some people just whip right by it, but as soon as, like, me or Riley gets on the computer, it's like,
uh-huh.
No, you can't talk now. What?
Right.
Oh, sorry, I'm on the thing. Oh, yeah, okay. There you go.
Well, you know, the interesting thing to me, Mark, is that the Bush administration functionary who was named in this report apparently hasn't screened the entire film yet. It's still in post-production. No, all they've seen is the trailer and the website.
They just buckled. They had this knee-jerk sort of, here's what's the deal. It's really amazing how quickly bullies become babies when they're cornered, man. They just saw a two-minute trailer. They're like, how could there ever be any funny ever when we're here?
Yeah, yeah. And trying to run the world.
It's unbelievable.
And remake the world in our own image.
Man, we got to get rid of them, dude.
Well, you know,
I think it's going to work. You feel pretty confident.
That this election is not going to be as close. I know that there are going to be people that will say, well, you know, you're going to make people complacent and they're not going to come out and vote because they think it's going to be a lead pipe cinch. I just have seen this kind of political dynamic before. Mm-hmm. Not on this level, but I've seen it before.
Yeah.
And in many instances, when it, right up until the last week before the election, about the time, by the way, that this movie's due to be released,
yes,
you hear all this, oh, it's too close to call, it's 50-50, it's 45-45, you know, all of this closeness, all of this, well, you know, we can't really say who's going to win.
Yeah.
And then on election day, in many instances, it's not even close. I mean,
God, I can't even, I just got chills up my spine thinking about Bush's face when he loses. It was great.
I just hope he doesn't try to suspend the election. Howard Dean if you want. But
that's just it. See, this is how we think, man. We're really more afraid of our president than we're afraid of what he tells us to be afraid of.
Absolutely.
Well, there we go. There's a liberal agenda. I'm glad it's at the end of the show. I seem to be getting all mush mouth. Here's your marching orders for today. 1, eliminate the letter W. Replace it with V, as in the best thing of the White House. 2, propose tax cut for backyard pharmaceutical companies. I'm going to be stocked in California. 3, change name of new intelligence czar to just an intelligence guy trying to do a job without any power trips, man. 4, throw wild party with new drug to combat alcoholism. That's that drug that came out last week. 5, today's phrase, just drop it into conversation, quote, Cheney gay sex romp, but the mainstream media never covers that, end quote. Man, have a good Monday, you guys. Okay?
Yeah. Go out in the world and do good.
Yeah.
Did somebody say that once?
Yes, I think it's a superhero thing.
Yeah, one of those things. Maybe it's the guy from the Thunderbirds.
Yeah, there you go.
Coming up on tomorrow's morning's edition, he's rugged, he's Australian, and he spends his days surrounded by dangerous predators. No, it's not the crocodile hunter. It's Time Magazine's Baghdad Bureau Chief Michael Ware.
Yes.
The man in direct contact with Iraq's insurgents. He'll be with us tomorrow on tomorrow's morning's edition here on Air America Radio. Have a good one.